Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, we got a very big show for you today, including some breaking news I just received 1 minute ago about some of the inclusions in the Arctic frost information that's been released today. We have a lot of, we have several bombshells. We're sitting here under a fusillade of bombshells being dropped by the House Oversight Committee and the Republicans in office. I'll talk about all that. Brianna Morello is going to join me in studio to discuss the inclusion of one Alex Jones in these documents and what was being done to him and why. So very, very interesting information coming up. Of course, a lot of other stuff too. Let's just get into it, shall we? Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 28th of October, 2025. House Oversight Committee deems all Biden auto pin actions null and void, demands investigation by AG Pam Bondi. The Biden auto pin scandal has taken a new turn, and the justice of the Department of Justice may soon get involved. The House Oversight Committee, led by Representative James Comer, released a 100-page report today declaring all of Biden's auto pin executive actions null and void. Hear that, Hunter Biden. Hear that, Anthony Fauci. Yeah, it turns out that you can't just have a puppet on the throne, a puppet president who has no idea where he is or what's going on, while a bunch of random unelected underlings affix the presidential signature to whatever orders they decide. And we've got some very interesting information about that from the House Oversight Committee. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Amazon targets as many as 30,000 corporate job cuts, sources say. That's right, folks. The corporate offices of Amazon, after systematically replacing all of the warehouse workers with robots, have themselves been replaced. What a coincidence. What an irony. This figure represents just a small percentage of Amazon's 1.5 million employees, but nearly 10% of its roughly 350,000 corporate employees. This would mark Amazon's largest job cut since late 2022, when it started to eliminate around 27,000 positions. So a couple interesting, you know, developments that I think this represents. One, that you're going to see companies cutting employees because they're doing well, right? Typically, you would think a company is cutting 30,000 employees because they're not doing something right. But actually, AI is just being implemented. They're doing even better than ever, so they're cutting all of the employees. That's the inverse of capitalism, but you know, who am I to say? And then the other thing is that Amazon's stock price actually went up. It's gone up by a percentage since the announcement that 10% of their corporate workforce has been destroyed. So, yeah, I think AI is sort of making capitalism all topsy-turvy these days. Meanwhile, noted billionaire climate alarmist Bill Gates slams doomsday view of climate change in stunning new memo. Well, I'm sure I'm glad we didn't listen to you about anything, because as I've said before, they treat climate change like something like, I don't know, COVID. But with COVID, you could lock everybody down. That would do a lot of damage, but eventually you could let everybody out again. You could reverse a lot of the policies implemented to fight COVID. You can't reverse spraying aluminum into the sky to block out the sun. You can't quickly reverse culling every cow in the herd because you think cow farts release methane. The things they want us to do to fight so-called climate change are irreversible. So now that Bill Gates admits that they're not necessary anyway, I sure am glad we didn't do a lot of them. And frankly, he should be in jail. Meanwhile, Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu orders military to immediately carry out strikes in Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu ordered Israel's military to carry out immediate, quote, powerful strikes in the Gaza Strip, and those have been carried out. It looks like the ceasefire might not last too much longer, and I don't think anybody's particularly surprised. Finally, Musk's anti-woke Grokopedia has landed, and it hosts 900,000 articles on day one. Yes, the truthful alternative to Wikipedia has been launched, and we have some pretty funny comparisons to give you about Wikipedia versus Grok. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's your Daily Dispatch. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We're hyped. We're hyped for this Tuesday broadcast. And there's a lot of stuff to be hyped about. A lot of stuff just breaking today. And this is what I always wanted. This is what I always wanted. Every day I would do the American Journal. It would end at 11 a.m. And at 11:01 a.m. all of the news would break. I'd have to sit there and go, well, guess I'll cover that tomorrow. Not anymore, folks. No, no, it's Harrison's the first to deliver this news now. A ton of news is breaking and continues to break and has broken today. From the AutoPen scandal to new information from the Arctic Frost surveillance program that Jack Smith was running against Republicans. And some very interesting developments in that case. Brandon Morello is going to join me in the next hour in studio to talk about some of this. This is her tweet from today. Breaking news, investigators from Operation Arctic Frost leveraged FBI field offices nationwide to carry out their probe. Arctic Frost investigators sought $16,600 in funding for travel to perform over 40 interviews. Up to 45 individuals, among them Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudolph Giuliani, Jeffrey Clark, John Eastman and Mark Meadows were potentially subjects of the investigation. An additional 111 individuals, including Peter Navarro, Dan Scavino, Jeff Rosen, and Ed Martin, were also potentially under scrutiny. And the whole report of this is hundreds of pages long. But at page 72, as Adan Salazar noted, at Adan Salazar Wins, Alex Jones's cell phone is mentioned as one of the pieces of evidence that was collected during all of this. So Brandon Morello has been making calls, digging into the behind-the-scenes story of what this is all about. We're going to talk to her about that next hour. But, of course, the biggest, I think, these are both huge. There's a lot of very large bombshells dropping right now. But I think the biggest is the one the crew just had up. House Oversight Committee deems some of Biden's auto pin orders invalid and asks the DOJ to investigate, which they absolutely have to. I mean, they have to investigate this. If anything that this House Oversight Committee is saying is true, it has to be investigated and criminal charges have to be laid. Because this is a literal usurpation of authority in this country from the people that Americans voted for to somebody else. And we're not entirely sure of who that other person is exactly. We have some ideas. There's potential people that, you know, could be the ones. But actually, the House Oversight Committee released a very long report on this, like a fully produced, almost mini documentary about this release. And I think I'm going to go to that pretty much the whole thing. Just to give you the overview here. The House Oversight Committee on Tuesday published its final report on the investigation into Biden administration's use of AutoPen, concluding that at least some of the president's orders are invalid and calling on the Justice Department to investigate. Earlier this year, the House Oversight Committee launched a probe into President Joe Biden's alleged use of an AutoPen to sign pardons and other presidential orders during his waning days in office. His waning days. Tried the entirety of his administration. After 3 months of investigation that included interviews with President Biden's senior aides, the panel chairman, GOP Representative James Comer from Kentucky, came to suspect what he and his colleagues had uncovered could be used as evidence to overturn some of the executive orders because those senior staff failed to prove the evidence the president knew what he was signing. Comer says actually almost all of the auto pen orders are invalid, signed remotely when the president had no idea it was being done. And that's illegal. So what are we doing? So, okay, this has to be step one of a mini-step process. Step two would be charging files and actually, you know, putting these people in jail for the usurpation of the sovereignty of the United States for their own twisted and perverted ends. So I want to go to this video. It's a little bit longer, and typically I try to avoid showing videos this long, but I think it's worth it, and it is really jam-packed with information and extremely well done. Clip number two here. This is posted. This is a video from the GOP House Oversight Board, the House Committee on Oversight. Joe Biden was not running the show, and we're not really sure who was at the end of the day. Satan, I guess. I guess you can put Satan at the top of that pyramid. Here's a video from the House Oversight Committee.
Was the number one issue in the campaign the president's fitness or his age?
Did you ever see President Biden in a wheelchair?
I do not recall ever seeing President Biden in a wheelchair.
And new information now on the people in his inner circle and how the cover-up actually operated.
Senior aides that worked here until just a couple months ago, the beginning of this year, manipulating an ailing president for their own gain.
How much were you paid for your role in the campaign in 2024?
Just a little bit short of $4 million.
How much?
$4 million.
You believe that the president should stay in the race. Your own financial stake in the matter was a factor in any way in your advice to the president.
I don't believe that.
And when it comes to President Biden's decline, the official word from Biden World about all these news stories is that nothing has been revealed this week that shows that President Biden was anything but an effective president.
Yes, I noticed that he was aging in terms of his physical condition. I noticed that, you know, he shuffled more.
That he has more stumbling over words and gaffes than he did, you know, at the beginning of the term.
His rhetorical skills were not as strong as they had been, and his speeches were less effective, I thought.
We talked about age. We knew it was an issue, and we tried to design a strategy.
We had a discussion at the senior advisor level about whether the president should have a cognitive exam.
Flashback now to the legacy media's complete denial of the president's cognitive decline.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline. And I hadn't.
He is just fine. How people interpret that is up to them.
We're watching the testimony of this woman here, Annie Tomasini. She's the former senior advisor to President Joe Biden. She was the third person set to appear before James Comer's committee. She has now taken the fifth. There is now a pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability for this potential conspiracy.
Were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
The advisory council, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon the physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, did you ever believe the president was unfit to execute his duties as president?
And we can tell you that he will have the same answer with respect to any questions that are asked.
Did any unelected official or family member of President Joe Biden execute the duties of the presidency?
Did Joe Biden, a member of his family, or anyone at the White House ever instruct you to lie regarding his health?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the questions pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
And if that wasn't shocking enough, Dick Tapper claims Hunter Biden was basically acting like the chief of staff.
Hunter was driving the decision-making for the family. He was almost like a chief of staff.
Did you notice an uptick ever when Hunter Biden was around?
Yes. Towards the end, I think he was living with the president.
They were lying not just to the public. They were lying to other Democrats.
Have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Were you in favor of Hunter Biden getting a pardon?
Yes.
Did you ever ask Joe Biden if the allegations regarding his son were true?
No. Ian Sams, who was the White House spokesperson, interacted with him two times.
Well, I think it's really important to take the soundbite and understand the context.
How often would you say that you interacted with the president in person?
I interacted with him pretty infrequently. I think I met with the president a handful of times during my tenure in the White House. I've got to say, that doesn't look anything like the president that I know. When I deal with him, he's sharp. He's asking tough questions. That's the President Biden that so many of us experience every single day.
You don't think it's missing some context?
I don't.
So it raises serious concerns and serious questions about who was calling shots in the White House. If the White House spokesperson is being shielded from the President of the United States, who was operating the Oval Office?
Age wasn't an issue for you or for President Biden?
No, it was not at this time.
Do you think President Biden was fully in command that night during the debate?
I do believe that he was fully in command that night during the debate.
I knew it was very difficult to get past some of the visual things that were causing people concern about the president's future.
The voters' concerns about President Biden were wrong?
Yes.
He often would confuse names.
You think it got worse as you knew him?
Yes.
Are you sure you're being honest with yourself when you say you have the mental and physical capacity to serve another 4 years?
Yes, I am.
I did not have the experience that it took him longer to answer a simple question.
He could stumble. He also stumbled some physically.
What is it you say?
It was something that we did not coin. It was something that the media coined.
Did you or did anyone ever verify if the videos you were talking about were, in fact, cheap fakes?
I believe so.
But there were instances where videos were circulated of President Biden appearing confused.
All right, folks, that goes on for another couple of minutes. You can follow GOP Oversight at GOP Oversight on X. And it's worth reminding you, these people are liars. They are outrageous liars, and they're continuing to lie to you. And even in those depositions, I dare say they were lying. Nobody came up with a cheap fake thing before Jeanine, whatever her name is, Pierre, came up with it. And remember, these people, it's just, there's perhaps never been a more blatant, like, stark example of what ridiculous liars these people are and why they stop lying, right? They didn't stop lying because they all suddenly realized that Joe Biden was incompetent. They admitted what they always knew to be true because the denial became ridiculous. That's what happened. When they could cover up the examples of his insanity, when they could try to disguise it or hide it or call it cheap fakes, then they were willing to lie because they thought they could get away with it. It was only when the truth became insurmountable. It was only when they were forced, because they would look ridiculous to say otherwise, they were forced to admit what we all knew the entire time, what we'd been reporting on for years at that point. I remember, every day on American Journal, pretty much, and every day I had a video, I would play it, and it was almost every day. We would play a video of Joe Biden falling off his bike, being ordered around by the Easter Bunny, getting lost in his own backyard, shaking hands with people that didn't exist, saying hello to people who'd been dead for 10 years. Every single day was another example of this, because every time he went out in public, it was obvious and apparent how incompetent he was. And every day, the people around him who knew better than us what was really going on went out and lied to your face, looked you in the eye through the camera lens, and told you lies because they thought it would benefit them. And only when the debate happened and Joe Biden was forced to contend with Donald Trump with no intermediary did it become not suddenly obvious of the condition of Joe Biden. It became impossible for them to lie with sincerity or conviction ever again. And so they had to come clean and pretend like they were all just realizing it. I just want to remind you, just want to emphasize that, because it goes throughout everything that we talk about every single day. It's proof positive beyond any reasonable doubt in black and white. These people are willing to lie to your faces about things that you know are fake and they know are fake. They will still lie to your face. So when they're talking about the government shutdown, when they're talking about standing up to Trump for free speech, nothing they say is to be taken seriously or believed in the slightest. These people will lie about anything for as long as they think they can get away with lying. That is the point of the auto pen scandal. And of course, it was a usurpation of the rights and the authority, the position that we granted as the American people to Joe Biden, stolen by his underlings. And of course, that doesn't even count the fact that he wasn't elected to president in the first place and the entire election was rigged. So we'll get back to that, because again, that I think is one of, if not the biggest story of today, with the House Oversight Committee basically saying that none of the stuff that Joe Biden did was valid. In fact, the exact quote from this article: the Oversight Committee concluded that senior Biden White House staff illegally exercised the president's authority on his behalf by directing the use of auto pen, and they failed to document the office's decision-making processes. In other words, this would be acceptable if they could show that Joe Biden delegated this authority to somebody else in full competence and knowledge of what he was doing. They don't have that information. People were literally signing Joe Biden's name to documents that he didn't even know existed. Okay. The committee's investigation turned up alarming deficiencies in the documentation and chain of custody for key presidential decisions. In some cases, President Biden was only said to have approved certain actions verbally or without clear record of the decision memorialized by his staff. For example, Neera Tanden, who serves as the senior advisor and staff secretary during Biden's term, testified before the committee that she had remarkably little interaction with the president, despite her responsibility to record presidential decisions and actions. Well, I mean, she didn't spend enough time on the beach, I guess. Who dealt with Joe Biden more? His chief of staff, Neera Tanden, his senior advisor, or whoever was cooking up mimosas on a Delaware beach somewhere? Because he spent more time lying like a squid on a beach than he did in the Oval Office making executive decisions. His entire administration was a fraud from the beginning. Everything about it. I mean, how far do you want to go back? The election was rigged because of the mail-in ballots that were fraudulent and were only there because of COVID, which itself was a lie, and the lockdowns were purposely designed to bring about the mail-in ballots, not to have anything to do with health, because I don't know if I've mentioned this, these people are outrageous liars that will take advantage of you whenever they possibly can. Okay, so everything about the Biden administration was a celebration of criminality. Like, that's all. It was fraudulent from the beginning, a hoax all the way down. The whole thing needs to be scrubbed from our history, as far as I'm concerned. Every decision the man made needs to be reversed. Every pardon, every preemptive pardon he issued, as absurd as that is on the face of it, now needs to be really shoved in the shredder. And everybody who he tried to protect through this needs to be charged. And everybody engaged in this gigantic deception of the American people needs to be sent to jail for a very long time. And that's it. And that's the end of the discussion. That's just where we're at this point. Again, we'll get back into that a little bit later. But we're learning more about what is included in Arctic Frost. Here's the article from New York Post. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray signed off on Arctic Frost, the probe that targeted GOP groups, spied on senators, documents show. So this was not a rogue prosecutor. This was not an accident. This was signed off on by the highest in the Biden administration. And I guess that would include Biden himself, since he didn't actually exist and wasn't really involved in anything. So in terms of the conscious human beings with the ability to make decisions, these are the highest people in the Biden administration: Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, head of the FBI and the attorney general at the time. These top Biden administration officials personally signed off on an FBI investigation that would go on to target nearly 100 Republican-linked entities or groups and may have spied on members of Congress. Former Attorney General Merrick Garland, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, and FBI Director Christopher Wray's signatures all appear on an April 4th, 2022 document authorizing the Bureau's Arctic Frost probe that was released Thursday by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. Grassley accused the Biden administration of having unleashed unchecked government power at the highest levels in a bombshell X post on the disclosures before vowing, "My oversight will continue." The FBI's Washington field office requested the senior official's authorization before looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College and fraudulent certificates of electors' votes were submitted to the archivist of the United States purporting to represent the actual elector votes from the states of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Wisconsin. So the field office requested the senior official's authorization looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. See, this thing is key to understanding all of this. An apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. That's what they're framing January 6th as. It was the exact opposite. The exact opposite. I want to ask you again, in case people don't know, why was Congress in session on January 6th, 2021? Why were they there? What were they doing? Why were both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, why were they both in chambers on January 6th, 2021? It was to determine whether or not to certify the electoral votes. How could it possibly be illegal to advocate to not certify the votes if there's a vote there, if there's a congressional hearing to determine whether or not to certify the electoral votes? If you're voting to certify the votes, it sort of implies that you can vote to not certify the votes. Does that make sense? The reason they were there on January 6th was to determine whether by unanimous decree or whatever the threshold is, they approved of the results of the Electoral College, or if through the applicable number of, objections, they would enter into a 10-day investigation period where a independent team would be told the complaints that citizens had, the concerns they had about the legitimacy of the election, and they would have a 10-day period to investigate those claims and determine whether they were valid or whether the vote should, in fact, be certified. That was the point of January 6th from the beginning. The point of going to the Capitol on January 6th was to show the congressmen and senators that there were millions of Americans that wanted them to do this. There were millions of them because they were being told that it was illegal to question the election, that they were election deniers if they didn't certify the vote. I mean, there was so much media pressure condemning and hiding and concealing the objections people had that a lot of congresspeople are pressured by. They're pressured by that type of influence. They're pressured by that type of media coverage. And so going there on January 6th in mass, ask any American that was on their way to the Capitol. They didn't say they wanted to stop the certification of the electoral votes. They said they wanted the 10-day waiting period. They wanted people like Ted Cruz and others who had vowed to object and to demand the 10-day investigation to encourage them and tell them this isn't some fringe, random, collection of conspiracy theorist schizophrenics that are saying this, because that was how it was portrayed. It was portrayed as though every thinking person, everybody who knows, everybody who cares, anybody with any, ounce of intelligence in their brain, they know this wasn't rigged. In fact, it wasn't just a secure election. It was the most secure election of all time, right? That was the claim they made. And the size of the crowd in January 6th was a direct confrontation of that. It was a direct abolishment of that idea to come in and say, no, there's millions of us. We all know this was rigged, and we all demand a free and fair election, and we demand that our congressmen stand up and demand that 10-day investigation period where we can actually air our objections and actually explain the rigging that went on. These people took that perfectly legal, totally constitutional advocacy that they were doing, framed it as a crime, and used that to get warrants on hundreds or thousands of people, including journalists like Alex Jones, although they didn't get a warrant for him, and that's a big issue. More on the other side. I'll explain it all. Don't go anywhere.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Finding more out about Arctic frost and just how huge and sprawling this completely outrageous so-called investigation was. I don't even want to call it an investigation. This was purely just a political fishing expedition as far as I'm concerned. Because like I just said, I can't even determine what the underlying crime would be that they got these warrants signed off on. As far as I can tell, there isn't one. The FBI's Washington field office requested the senior official's authorization before looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. Again, that is, I mean, the process for this, the procedure for this is constitutional. It's the reason they were there on January 6th. So how could it possibly be a crime to advocate for something that is constitutionally obligated to consider? It is completely outrageous and ridiculous. So they use this, as far as I'm concerned, total non-crime to go after everybody. And I guess they use January 6th as the excuse as if anybody involved in this had anything to do with January 6th. I mean, the whole thing is stupid. I thought the official story was that the Trump supporters on the in the Capitol on January 6th wanted to kill all the Republicans. I thought they wanted to hang Mike Pence and kill all of the congressmen. Now the congressmen are being investigated because of the people that wanted to kill them. That doesn't make any sense. Now, none of it makes any sense. It's all outrageous. It's all absurd. Open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with Donald Trump, Inc., the Trump campaign, present articulatable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime, and thus the FBI seeks to open a full investigation, according to the four-page memo written by Ray. Open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with the Trump campaign present an articulable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime. What federal crime? And he says open source reporting, by the way. This is what I was talking about, how they will launch a fake investigation, leak the information from that investigation to the media. The media reports on it. Then they use that reporting as the reason why they need to investigate more and open file for more warrants. That's what they're saying here. When they say open source reporting, what they mean is that people in the media have published things that they are told by the intelligence agencies that the intelligence agencies are then using to get a warrant to spy on everybody. The FBI boss, Chris Wray, who resigned one day before Trump returned to office as the 47th president, sent the missive to Garland, who signed it on April 5th, 2022. Merrick, I recommend you approve, Monaco scrawled beneath her boss's signature line. Arctic Frost would eventually provide investigative material to Special Counsel Jack Smith for his indictment of Trump charging unlawful efforts to reverse Joe Biden's 2020 electoral victory, but prominent donors, allies, and even sitting senators were also swept up in the FBI's dragnet. So this started with the FBI. It started with Chris Wray and Merrick Garland. They launched this investigation, then they handed it off to Jack Smith, random dude, not approved by the Senate, not actually given the authority to do what he then did, which was to gather all of this information and collate it and use it to get dirt on the Republicans. According to the unclassified files released by Grassley, the Bureau quietly issued subpoenas for 9 congressional Republicans' phone records as part of the probe, a move the 92-year-old senator called a weaponization of federal law enforcement that was, quote, arguably worse than Watergate. Arguably worse than Watergate? Okay. Is being attacked by Godzilla arguably worse than being bitten by a mouse? Yeah. It's arguably worse. Perhaps instead of arguably, you could use the word substantially or unimaginably. Yeah, this is Watergate. Honestly, Watergate. I mean, maybe that's a good point. Maybe, you know, the point that we should be making is putting this in context with something like Watergate, where you had a couple of guys trying to jimmy open a file cabinet at the DNC. Is that more or less of a violation than the Democrats in power issuing secret warrants to sweep up all of the call data for a large portion of their opposition in Congress and the Senate? Which is worse? Gee, I wonder. Insane. Senator Marsha Blackburn has since accused Smith, whose case against Trump was dismissed before he assumed office, of having spied on duly elected members of Congress, and called for the DOJ ex-special counsel's disbarment. I think he should be imprisoned. As part of Jack Smith's weaponization witch hunt, the Biden DOJ issued subpoenas to several telecommunication companies in 2023 regarding our cell phone records, gaining access to the time, recipient, duration, and location of calls placed on our devices from January 4th, 2021 to January 7th, 2021. Blackburn wrote in a letter earlier this month, co-signed by others whose phone metadata was accessed. We have yet to learn any legal predicate for the Biden Department of Justice issuing subpoenas to obtain these cell phone records, added the letter, which was also signed by Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Dan Sullivan of Alaska, as well as Representative Mike Kelly. Senators Ron Johnson, Bill Hagerty, Josh Hawley, and Cynthia Loomis also had their call logs seized during Arctic Frost. The so-called toll analysis of the phones could have shown who each member was calling or texting in the lead-up and immediate aftermath of the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot. So they weren't actually listening into the content of the phone calls, as far as we can tell, as far as we know, as far as been presented so far. I wouldn't put anything past them. But you can get a hell of a lot of information knowing who calls who when, especially if it's a flurry of calls, if you've got one person talking to another person, they hang up and immediately call another person. You can very easily establish a network, especially if you're doing it over a long period of time. You can get really all the information you need simply from the metadata. And it's private information, and it is not subject to investigations like this, especially if it's congressmen and congresswomen. I mean, were they going to be charged with crimes? Were they going to be charged with treason or something of the equivalent? If Kamala or Biden had won, if they'd been able to actually get this done the way Jack Smith wanted it to? Or is it just to gather the information to use in for other purposes, for electoral purposes, perhaps? In the same way that they used, you know, this would be kind of the reversal. It'd be like an inverse of the dossier, where the dossier was the FBI using opposition research from the Hillary Clinton campaign. This would be the Democrat campaign using information supplied by the intelligence agency. So kind of an inverted role, but not a dissimilar one. Additionally, 92 Republican or GOP-aligned groups or people, including Turning Point USA, co-founded by the assassinated conservative activist Charlie Kirk, were investigated in a way that appeared to show Arctic Frost was much broader than just an electoral matter. Arctic Frost was much broader than just an electoral matter. And again, I want to remind you that all of this surveillance, all focused on Republicans, all illegal, and a lot of it warrantless, all of that is predicated on the idea that Republicans were advocating for their own representatives to object on January 6th to the certification of the electoral votes, which is the whole point of them going to the Capitol on January 6th in the first place. So they used Republicans' civic participation in a constitutional process to justify mass surveillance of senators, congressmen, and prominent Republican activists. And I just want to say real quick, because it gets crazier. It really does get even more insane where all this stuff goes. And Brandon Morello is digging into this and really going to have a lot more to tell us in the next hour. But we don't need the Democrats' permission to go after them. I know this might sound stupid, but we know what they did. And I just explained it to you. They took the lawful participation in the electoral process that Republican representatives, senators, as well as their constituents engaged in as a predicate to spy on all of their enemies. They can come up with whatever excuses they want. They can claim this is weaponization. They can claim whatever. It doesn't matter. We have them dead to rights. All that matters now is that they're brought to justice. And we have to get justice for this. We have to. I mean, the other reaction would be to just, this is now the precedent, and this is just what we do now. And that's not a world I want to live in. It's not a world I want to live in when one party can simply look at another party engaged in an equal contest for votes and just criminalize what the other party's doing and say, well, you know, we don't want them to object to the electoral vote. Therefore, we're going to get warrants to spy on all of them because we don't like that they're doing that. There's nothing illegal about it. Nothing about this is justified. Nothing about this is warranted. And everybody involved has to be held to maximum account because our country can't exist with people like this. We have the House, we have the Senate, we have the executive branch. If they don't just come down with the hammer on these people and just treat them like anybody else, like I'm sick of a two-tier system of just the Democrats getting away with everything all of the time, forever, constantly. Just constant misery, constant oppression, constant violations of the rule of law, constant violations of privacy, constant. And they never get held to account while constantly braying and whining and crying crocodile tears about non-existent oppression, potential imagined oppression from the Trump administration, sucks all the energy out of the room. There's real oppression going on. And like, what do we have to prove? How much more could you possibly need? And it's like, we don't even need this. I'm almost pissed off at this because it's like, okay, so what? So what? Operation Warp Speed, the special counsel investigating Russiagate, James Comey leaking, and, again, launching surveillance operations for no other reason than political gamesmanship. We don't need that. I mean, it's like, at a certain point, you can, like, stop digging up dead bodies out of John Wayne Gacy's backyard. Right? By the time you're pulling the 18th skeleton out of the ditch, you can go, I think we got him. I think, actually, this is enough. Now, if this had come out of nowhere, we all trusted the government, and suddenly this came out, yeah, it would be about 100 times worse than Watergate. The problem is we're, like, inured to this. We're, like, inoculated against the reaction we should be having because this type of violation, this type of massive government overreach, completely unconstitutional abuse of power by the Democrats, happens on a routine basis. So is this going to be any different? We only had 17 dead bodies before. Now we have the 18th one. We'll definitely charge him with murder. That's how it feels at this point. Or it's like, okay, great. More evidence, more data for a trial that's never going to come. More evidence for a case that has never been made for some unspoken reason. Do you need Christopher Wray to give you permission to arrest him? Do you need to ask Merrick Garland to politely turn himself in? Or can you kick their doors down like you did to Roger Stone at 5 in the morning? Why not? Why not just do that? So, I mean, part of me is like, oh my God, this is huge. The other part of me is like, add it to the pile, I guess. I guess put it on their tab. Put another round of tyranny on the docket of the Democrats because it's already overflowing. We already have far, far, far more than enough evidence. Put all these people away for life without even an investigation because they admit what they do. In the case of people like Alejandro Mayorkas, did he not open the border? Do we need to prove the border was open? It's like treason. These people committed treason. They weaponized our government against their enemies. Just because they failed in their mission doesn't mean they didn't try. I have the feeling that's going to be like the defense here. So it's like, well, we never brought charges with these investigations. I'm just like, okay, so if someone shows up to your house and shoots at you, but they don't hit you with the bullet, then I guess you got nothing. No, it's attempted murder. Like, this was attempted tyranny. It was tyranny. I mean, it was just tyranny flat out. They weren't able to send all these people to jail like they'd wanted to. That's not because they didn't try. It's not because they wouldn't if they could have. So again, it's just infuriating that we have to talk about this endlessly. More information. Great. You can just picture the closet, like open the door, and it's just stuffed. It's stuffed all the way to the doorway with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's text messages and Operation Warp Speed and the Russia collusion hoax, and it's just the Ukraine impeachment, January 6th. It's just like, hey, we'll just like try to shove this latest tranche of information in with the rest of it because it's overflowing at this point. We have more than enough we could ever possibly need to send every one of these people to the electric chair. And we can't even get most of them disbarred or punished in any way whatsoever. And by the way, we, meaning Alex Jones, was the only journalist document tranche, the only person noted on page 72. There's a list of people who were involved in this and what their role was. From Brianna Morello, investigators from Arctic Frost leveraged FBI field offices nationwide to carry out their probe. And in this list, as Adan Salazar notes, you have Alex Jones' cell phone. So this is actually another violation on top of everything that we're talking about. because they didn't have a warrant for Alex Jones' cell phone. They had a warrant for all these other people. They had a warrant for Rudy Giuliani. They had a warrant for Mark Meadows and Jeffrey Clark and Steve Bannon. They didn't have a warrant for Alex Jones, but they got his cell phone somehow. So just think about that. Arctic Frost had nothing. The other thing to consider, just like Trump, I mean, these things have sort of a pattern that they follow. You have the non-existent crime. I mean, we can map both these out, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, they really fit an equation quite well. You have an imaginary or non-existent crime. One case, it was collusion with Russia, never actually existed. In another case, it was the illegal advocacy for objecting to the Electoral College, which isn't a crime. It's literally just the electoral process as it stands constitutionally. You start off with the imaginary or non-existent crime. Then you get the search warrants, and it's a fishing expedition because you think they could be doing something. They could have something, whatever it is. Either you're going to get information you can use to beat them electorally, or you can find something that you can frame as a crime and charge them with that. And then each time they get these warrants, they get the surveillance, totally illegal, predicated on something that didn't exist, but they get it, and then they find nothing. Despite having complete access, because all these other people, they got the phone logs, they got where they called from, who they called, how long the call duration lasted. Not so the case with Alex Jones' cell phone. With Alex Jones' cell phone, they got the whole cell phone. They got all the messages. They got all the texts. They got all the phone calls. And guess what? There was nothing there. There's nothing there. Again, they think that we're like them. They are just engaged in a constant whirlpool, maelstrom of corruption. Constantly lying, constantly manipulating. And so to them, if you could get a look in their cell phones, you think you'd find some evidence? If you could, without them knowing, be surveilling all of their phone calls and text messages, you think you'd find some interesting information? I bet you would. I bet they live in constant terror of their secret communications being exposed. So they think we must all be like that. They think we're all living with this sort of Damocles of the truth coming out. No, we ride the wave of we're on top of the truth, surfing it like a Hawaiian. We love the truth. We don't have anything to hide. And so they don't understand that, investigate us, trying to find something, and there's nothing there. So they're left not just empty-handed, but their hands are empty as the result of an illegal warrant and a fraudulent case in the first place. So Alex Jones, as far as I can tell, is the only journalist in this actually surveilled, and he was surveilled more than the other people because they didn't actually get a warrant for him specifically. They went around that. They circumvented that and were able to get his cell phone, a clone of his cell phone, complete for investigation. The FBI digging through it. Jack Smith digging through it, desperate to find something to pin on Alex Jones and InfoWars because the Sandy Hook thing wasn't working out. It didn't go as well as they thought it would. Kicking him off the internet didn't go as well as they thought it would. Calling InfoWars a white supremacist organization and spying on us for 12 years up to that point, it didn't exactly work. So then they went with, we'll surveil everything. We'll get into their personal communications through this backdoor warrantless surveillance, and they still have nothing. I don't know if there is a more clear-cut example of a violation of one of our rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights. This is so clearly a violation of what is the Fourth Amendment right against warrantless search and seizure. Oh, the National Review says that it says the freak out, it's a faux freak out over Arctic Frost. What do we need to do to convince them that this is real? What do we need to do to convince them that we genuinely care about the fact that our government was able to mass surveil the opposition party. Hey, okay, if the freakout's fake, if this is all just a big nothing burger, then let's do it to them. Let's do it to them. We'll have Pam Bondi and Kash Patel write little memos back and forth to each other and say, hey, you know, these Democrats are engaged in a plot to get elections on Election Day. How dare they? That has to be illegal, isn't it? Sorry, how did he put it? Sorry, we can use the exact language they use if we really want to. So I'll report it, all right? So open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with Donald Trump presents an articulable factual basis for indicating the existence of a federal crime. Okay, so this is your open source report. Merrick Garland committed crimes. Okay, so now Kash Patel can take that and he can say, quote, open source reporting presents an articulable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime. There you go. That's all you need. I just did it for you. I articulated a potential federal crime of Merrick Garland. Treason. There it is. Now you can take that, Kash Patel, and you can send a memo to Pam Bondi, and you can tell Pam Bondi this open source reporting indicates that it may have been a federal crime. So now I think we need to investigate every Democrat journalist, Democrat activist organizations. We don't need to tell them or inform them. We just need to get the telecommunications company to share live, you know, information about what they're doing, who they're calling, where they're going. And, maybe we find something there that we can charge them with. And if not, I guess we'll just skate away scot-free. And if they complain about it, we can just throw this back in their face. I guess these are the options. Either this was bad and they need to be punished for it, or this was fine and this is just how government works now. This is just how politics works in America in the year 2025, is whoever's in power just uses every tool at their disposal in any crooked and unjustifiable way they can to spy on all of their enemies in an effort not just to win against them electorally, but to send them all to jail for the rest of their lives. And if that doesn't work, you just activate your street gangs to go out and physically attack the government in hopes that you can cause a civil war and not bring the whole country to its knees. That's a Democrat playbook. That's either how our government works, and that's the order of operations we need to comport with, or we can send all of these people to jail and get back to the business of being a country again, being a republic again, having liberty again, and having a government restricted in its actions, not restricting us while it has a free hand to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, spy on whoever it wants for whatever reason it wants. Or you just burn the whole thing to hell, because I'm sort of fine with any of it. I'm kind of fine with maybe we need to protest this. Yeah, I don't know. Where should we go? Where do you think we should go to protest this type of thing? I have an idea. Wait a second. What if we do it again? What if we really do it this time? What if it's not a protest this time? What if we show up at the Capitol and actually do what they said we were doing? Wouldn't that be interesting? Maybe that's what we need to do now.
The American spirit is the fire of freedom, ignited by the Founding Fathers' fearless words on the printing press, carried by Paul Revere's midnight ride to warn of tyranny's approach. It's the courage of the Alamo, where men and women stood against impossible odds for a better tomorrow. It's the resolve of a nation daring to dream beyond the stars. InfoWars is that spirit reborn. We are the lighthouse, shining truth on the hidden rocks of corruption, foreign and domestic. We challenge power, expose lies.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
And arm we the people with knowledge to forge their own path. This is the fight for freedom. InfoWars is you, me, and every patriot who dares to seek the truth. Join us. Stand tall. For when the stakes are this high, truth is our greatest weapon. InfoWars is America.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder. Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of scandals coming to light today. Arctic Frost just gets more and more insane, the more and more you learn about it. Spying on Republicans, senators, congressmen. You gotta wonder what was done with that information once they got it. We got other stuff to talk about here. We are gonna be joined a little bit later this hour by Brandon Morello to really break down what Arctic Frost entailed and, you know, all the crap they got away with and are getting away with up to this point. There's a lot of other news that I would like to talk about as well. In fact, I'd like to go to clip number 14 here. This was a call to action that Alex came up with on the show, actually, with the help of a caller. And I actually think this is a very brilliant idea, and I'll explain why. I see some people counter-signaling this, but I think you don't see it if you're watching Alex's show. He's like, he has this vision where he's like, this is it. I completely agree. And people are already picking up the baton here and running with it. This is a friend of the show, Michael Graves, very talented musician, clip number 14. Here's him, making a video, just like Alex Jones suggested that we do. Here's the way that Republicans can really make the most out of this government shutdown and the looming specter of the end of SNAP benefits. Here's Michael Graves.
So come November 1st, which is just in a couple of days here, the EBT and SNAP benefits are not going to be refilled because of the circumstances surrounding the federal government shutdown. People are going to need help. People are anxious. People are scared, wondering how they're going to feed their families, if they're going to be able to feed their kids. So what I recommend, what I suggest, what I'm doing, what my family's going to do is find a local food bank and donate to them. Go buy a bag of rice. Go get a couple of cans of food, as much as you can, and bring it to your local food bank. Flood those banks with food so that we can help everybody who's going to need help get through what we need to get through. Go to the store, get some stuff, find a local food bank right now, and make a donation. Maybe volunteer to help. Flood the food banks with food right now.
So that was a great video by Michael Graves. You can follow him at Radio Deadly on X. And I reposted this, and I saw some people going, oh, you know, why should we want to help the welfare queens and all this sort of stuff? And I agree with that, but that's not what this is. First of all, a lot of the SNAP abuse that goes on, the 40 million people, they aren't actually hungry. They sell their SNAP benefits sometimes to stores. Basically, you know, I've got a video to explain this that I'll go to in just a second. So half the time they're not even getting the food. They're selling the SNAPs and then doing their hair and nails with it, with the money. Also, SNAP, you're buying soda and Doritos and all this gross stuff. Like, if somebody's going to a food bank and receiving a bag of rice, they're not the bad guys. Okay? That's just how it is. Like, if you're filling up your cart with $500 worth of stuff you haven't earned to feed the 9 kids that you popped out without having a job or a father in the picture, like, okay, you have made your own choices and have to live with those. But for most people, yeah, there he is. It's like you think it's the people that like to pretend to be mean are actually the nicest ones. You ever notice that? You ever notice it's people that dress up in the skull makeup and they look scary. They're the exact ones that will actually defend the innocent and give to charities. And it's the people that it's the Bill Gateses and their nice pink sweaters that are actually just seething in resentment and hate of the rest of humanity. So, yeah, look, if you're giving money or if you're giving food to a food bank, that food bank is not going to be giving that food out to people who don't deserve it, don't want it. They actually have more of a, you know, desire to make sure it goes to where it's supposed to be going because they're not the government just giving out money to whoever, you know, demands it. And if you're giving food, then that's what the people are receiving. They're not receiving gobs of money to do with whatever they want. They're getting a bag of rice to feed their children. And isn't that what the purpose of charity is all about? I think it's a great movement.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle of pills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're already into the second hour of The War Room, and you know what I haven't even mentioned once?
Charlotte knows.
Charlotte knows. We have a new product, folks. We have an incredible new product. We have a new product that superpowers the rest of our products. This is the supplement that supplements could take, would take, if supplements could take supplements. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the supplement. It's Methylene Red, folks. It's Methylene Red. It's brand new, formulated by us, for you, Ultra Methylene Red, now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Brand new product formulated by us and designed specifically to maximize and really supercharge the effects of Methylene Blue. And you can save 50% on Ultra Methylene Red if you subscribe to it. They're trying to fog your brain, slow your synapses, and turn you into a compliant zombie, but Ultra Methylene Red just dropped at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's the ultimate brain weapon to fight back. This isn't some weak, watered-down multivitamin. This is clinical-grade, bioavailable brain armor, a full-spectrum methylation and mitochondrial strike force engineered for maximum cognitive firepower, both as a standalone tincture and as a Methylene Blue super enhancer. You want to know how I read all of those incredible words right there without messing up even once? Because I personally have already taken two doses of Ultra Methylene Red. I actually have. And it's actually great. I actually felt it sort of right off the bat. And it's very similar to the Ultra B12 that we used to have. It has actually all of the same ingredients as that Ultra 12 tincture, but even more. And you really got to go and check this out for yourself, especially if you're a fan of Ultra Methylene Blue. This is going to superpower that. We call it going purple. You're going to go purple. It's when you're so focused, you're like writing entire books when you're supposed to be sleeping. That's going purple on us. So get it now. Get it now, folks. The red and the blue combined. Ultra Methylene Red now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Order it now. Subscribe and get 50% off Ultra Methylene Red. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. I have to admit, it's not quite as pretty as Ultra Methylene Blue, but that's not a fair comparison since Ultra Methylene Blue straight up looks like a magic potion. It looks like, something you'd see in a sci-fi. It looks like the juice they drink to become gods in Dune, right? So it's really spectacular. But the Ultra Methylene Red, certainly packs a punch, and I can tell you that from personal experience. Let's go to clip 10 here, because this is what I was talking about in the last segment, and this wasn't as widespread. Yeah, here it is. Ultra Methylene Red. Ooh, I bet we can get a lot of good imagery out of the red. Out of the red meme, thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. So I didn't realize how widespread this was. I mean, I always knew this was a thing that people would do, selling their, you know, SNAP and EBT. But in the last round of like TikTok videos I've seen about it, like now that it's one of those things where once you start looking for it, you see it everywhere. I've seen so many videos now where they just sort of casually will drop this. People are just like, oh, well, you know, the ladies aren't going to look so good now that they can't sell their SNAP benefits and do their hair and nails. And it's like, okay, so this is just an understood thing. This isn't like, oh, some people do this. Some people run a racket. The way I hear people talk about it is it's just understood, acknowledged, and ubiquitous that this is the way food stamps are used. This is the way SNAP benefits are consumed by a huge portion of Americans. Let's go to clip number 10 now.
I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. Like, the real reason why a lot of people are upset about this whole food stamps, SNAP benefit thing, bro, is because they're selling their food stamps, bro. They're selling them. I'm telling you, they are selling their food stamps, bro. You know how many people in New York and other states right now are going to the corner store, the deli, and they're selling their food stamps, bro? They're selling. That's why they're getting like $4,000, $3,000 in food stamps, and they're selling it for cash. They'll get $4,000 in food stamps, and they'll just take like $1,000 in cash. Like, bro, like that's happening like everywhere. That's why they're mad. That is exactly why they're mad right now. And you know the thing about it too? They will never admit to selling their food stamps. But it's happening.
And again, it seems like a fairly open secret as far as I can tell. And this is just the way it works. You get a $4,000 EBT account. You go to the corner store. The corner store receives that $4,000, gives you $1,000. They've just made $3,000. You've just made $1,000. And the American people are out $4,000. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that nice how that works? Now, a lot of states are reacting to this in different ways, and it sort of depends on what type of state government rules your locality. And would it surprise you to know that the Republican governors are handling this significantly better than the Democrat governors, that the Republican governors are concerned about actually serving and helping their people, while the Democrat governors are a little bit more interested in causing pain and suffering in their constituents, because that's the fuel they run on. Remember, human suffering is the fuel to the Democrats' automobile. That's what drives them. Without people being miserable and hateful and jealous and full of envy, then they don't get votes. When people are responsible and self-sufficient and upstanding, they don't need the government helping them out. Let's go to clip number 12 here. There's a little overview of just how some Republican versus Democrat governors are dealing with the idea that their state may not be receiving SNAP benefits in the very near future. Let's watch.
Never seen a more potent display of the difference between Republicans and Democrats than what you're about to see.
To not pay the military, to not pay TSA, to not pay air traffic controllers, and to interrupt SNAP benefits for Virginians most in need.
Glenn Youngkin, Republican governor of Virginia.
For benefits,
watch this.
To run
pay
out.
Attention
so
to
he
this.
Says the state will pick up the bill for meal assistance.
The state of Virginia is going to step in and cover the benefits.
Why?
While we have the financial resources to do it for a while, not forever.
Meanwhile.
Wow. They have the financial resources to do it. You know why? Because they have all of our revenue. We have sent all of our revenue to Virginia. Their coffers are full with our revenue. Now, compare what Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is doing. He's going to make sure that those people have SNAP, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on that. Compare that to Governor Moore. This is Governor Moore, Democrat governor of Maryland, how he's approaching this.
Moore put out a statement. He says the Trump administration hasn't guaranteed states will be reimbursed for covering federal expenses like food benefits, which has been the case during previous shutdowns. The governor says, quote, we will continue to do everything in our power to ensure the federal government follows the law and provides funding for the critical services that our families, our children, and our veterans rely on.
Now, this is interesting, and I've been telling you this for the longest time. Democrats are not your friends. For those people, oh, the Democrats are helping us. I have been telling you, if you listen to my program, I've been telling you over and over and over again, when you people are like, oh, well, we're going to provide expanded SNAP benefits and we're going to pay your rent and everything, they do that for moments like this. This is why they push those things, because this is leverage. Like, the Democrats have explicitly said this is leverage. And in a case where you have a Republican governor in Virginia, his priority is like, look, these people need these benefits. Let's get them fed. Governor Moore is thinking, how do we blame this on Trump? How do we leverage this? And I think there's another layer to this, by the way. You know, I didn't even get to this. I personally feel like the Democrats are really twisting the knife, and they're mad at black people for not showing up for Kamala Harris. I promise you that's part of this. And so they feel like, oh, well, you guys get the, and you can already see on the people are talking about this. Well, you guys voted for this. They want to make sure this hurts because it's related to Trump. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans generally, now again, I can't speak for all situations. They want to get the job done. The other thing I want to point out here is the fiscal situation. Now, Maryland is in no financial situation to be picking up any tabs. We've pretty much run through the surplus, the $5 billion surplus that Governor Hogan left us with. Westmore turned it into a $3 billion deficit. They've barely been able to claw out of that with a ton of taxes and fees that have chased our revenue down to Virginia. This is why forward-thinking executive leadership matters. A Republican governor is going to make sure their people are getting snapped. The Democrat governor is going to make sure you suffer all so that they can score political points. You decide for yourself what they.
Yeah, very, very concise breakdown. And I, you know, you can ignore this stuff to your own detriment, but it's a constant. You understand that, right? It is a constant thing that Republicans, whether you like them or not, whether like what they're even doing is in line with their own moral compunction or not, like they'll do it because they understand when they take an oath of office, when they're appointed to a role like governor, that they do represent everybody. And even if, you know, Glenn Youngkin personally thinks that people shouldn't be on SNAP, he understands that his role as governor is to provide for the people and that a lot of people are on SNAP and you need to handle that. Not so with Democrats. Just like we always explain, if they get a position of power, it's just about how that power can be used to help them. And if that means hurting their own people in order to win political points against Donald Trump, then that's what they're going to do. And whether it's because they're, you know, evil or incompetent, sort of beside the point. The outcome is the same. You know, they could want to support SNAP and just literally cannot figure out how to do that. That is a possibility. But the reality is they cause suffering and then they blame other people and then they get votes because of that. And that's just how they have existed as a party for their entire existence. So, again, Glenn Youngkin, Republican, probably not, he probably doesn't love SNAP as a program. But he's upholding it. He's keeping it running while Democrat governors allow it to close down. Does that mean anything to anybody? Like, anybody out there want to notice that this is sort of a constant thing with these people? It's almost always the Democrats who are just failing to deliver on any of their promises or uphold the oaths that they took or fulfill the responsibilities of their office. They just constantly use it and abuse it to whatever ends they imagine, completely at odds with the well-being of their constituents, whereas Republicans, as bad as some of them are, you could at least trust a Republican to do what's right. Like that's sort of how it goes to me. Like, if you're like a shop owner and there's an emergency and you got to run, but you can't afford to shut your shop, so there's just some guy in the store, and you go, "Sir, I need you to take care of my store for 20 minutes while I do this." The Republican is the guy that goes, "Okay, will do," and sits behind the counter and rings people up and puts stuff back on the shelves and goes, "Hey, you wanted me to run the store? I'm running the store." The Democrat goes, "Oh, I'm going to call all my friends. We're going to loot the hell out of the store. Yeah, I'll take care of your store for you. Don't worry about it. For sure I will. I'm going to get so much money out of the cash register." Like, it's just one side actually believes in the responsibilities of the office and wants to fulfill them to the best of their ability, even if it's done in a way that is specific to them and informed by their beliefs. they still fulfill the function. The Democrats are not capable or willing to fulfill the function. They only use it to their own ends. I don't want to just hammer that home over and over, but like it's every day. It's constant. It's absolutely constant. Me waiting for people to start talking about looting because this time I'm in. Yeah, I just, you know. What was Trump's turn of phrase? Looters get shooters. What was it? You loot, we shoot. I think that's what you loot, we shoot. That should be available at the Alex Jones. We need signs for store owners. You loot, we shoot. Come on by. Come on by. Bring your actual money, not your SNAP benefits or your crowbars. Okay. Glad we settled on this. Now, enough people recognize the reality of this situation. They recognize that it is, in fact, the Democrats keeping the government shut down. It is, in fact, their outrageous demands that are causing any suffering that you see as a consequence of the shutdown. And again, this message seems to be getting out. Clip 13, this is CNN reporting about how politics has been affected by the latest government shutdown. Let's watch.
Starting with Republicans, how has the shutdown seemed to have affected their political standing?
Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here, the shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. Among the when we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye on. All right, changing the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents. It's up 8 points as well. So we've got a situation here where Republicans with the shutdown are actually rallying their base, but it's also something that's not hurting them with the folks in the middle. If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. And this is the type of math that if you're Republicans, you like to see, right? Because something could rally the base but alienate those in the middle, or something could rally those in the middle but alienate the base. But the truth is, we're not seeing that. What we're seeing is the Republican brand has actually gotten better among independents, and it's also gotten better among Republicans as well, that Republican brand when it comes to those in Congress. So again, what's the electoral reason that Republicans would give in at this point?
And Democrats, of course, they have their eyes on the midterm elections. Yeah, we have elections 1 week from today, but what Democrats in Congress are mostly focused on are 1 year and 1 week from today from the midterm. So how do Democrats, how are they positioned right now?
Yeah, so I mean, look, the general congressional ballot, which traditionally Democrats have done really well on, and if you look at this point back when Trump was president the first time around, Democrats were up 11 points. Look at where it is now. Democrats are ahead, but they're actually only up 3 points. This is, in fact, the worst position Democrats have been on in a generic ballot at this point in midterm when there was a Republican president in the last 20 years. And this is no different from pre-shutdown. So Republicans aren't losing on this metric either. They become more popular, and they're actually in a pretty good position for them historically when it comes to the generic congressional ballot.
This is a concerning number for Democrats, are you saying?
This is a concerning number for Democrats because it's considerably worse than they traditionally do in midterm elections when there's a Republican president.
Harry N., thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend.
So, I mean, the Democrats are in shambles. Democrats proposed bill to protect SNAP and WIC amid shutdown. They are holding out for health care for illegal immigrants. I mean, the whole thing is hilarious, honestly. I mean, it's just these people, man. Yeah, there you go. That's the truth. We just want you happy and healthy and maybe a little bit drunk. All right. Democrats want you looting the stop and go. All right, I got more politics and stuff to talk about, but I actually want to cover Grokkipedia now, because Elon Musk released the alternative to Wikipedia, fighting the woke, the anti-woke alternative to Wikipedia, and people are doing a little comparing and contrasting. So Grokpedia was released today, and people are searching particularly hot button political topics and finding the or comparing the coverage from Wikipedia and Grok. When it comes to the Hunter Biden laptop, Wikipedia frames Hunter Biden laptop as a controversy that, quote, Trump tried to use to hurt Biden's campaign, and frames the censorship of this as skepticism. Grokpedia is much more thorough and unbiased. It cites censorship immediately, discusses the chain of evidence, uses 100-plus sources, and details the impact of the story on other events, including presidential polling, without picking a side. Same event, two narratives, one spins, the other explains. And, you know, this is one of the frustrating parts about Wikipedia, or just any mainstream media for that matter, is they will frame things like this. Trump attempted to turn the story into an October surprise to hurt Joe Biden's campaign by falsely alleging that while in office, Biden had acted corruptly regarding Ukraine to protect his son. Of course, he admitted that. It's literally on video. But they can just frame it as this. And it's important, you know, the framing of this, the way it's presented, it's like as important as the information itself, because people can't really think for themselves. We've been shown over and over again. So if you say, you know, Trump used the Hunter Biden laptop to his benefit, it's like, yeah, duh, why wouldn't he? But they want to frame that as a bad thing. They want to frame it like this incredibly damning evidence of the endless crimes or just basic bad character of Hunter Biden comes to light, involving his father with direct connections to Joe Biden. And you don't want him to use that. And so him using that isn't being presented as Hunter Biden had this crazy evidence came out and it affected the presidential election. It's Trump attempted to use this to get what he wanted. And it's just like, it's so dishonest, but it's so subtly dishonest. It's kind of even more disgusting than just outright lying about it. Meanwhile, from Grok, a July 2023 poll commissioned by the Media Research Center found that 79% of Americans believed the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story affected the 2020 presidential election, with 91% of Republicans, 82% of independents, and 69% of Democrats agreeing that fuller coverage would have likely led to a victory for Donald Trump. Which is absolutely true. Okay, so on Hunter Biden laptop, victory goes to Grok. What about COVID-19? Well, according to Wikipedia, conspiracy theorists claim COVID-19 was leaked from a lab. Grokpedia, on the other hand, says experts are split. Here are the sources for the House report on the lab leak and scientific sentiment studies. Wow, I'm genuinely impressed, says author McWaters. I will literally never use Wikipedia again. Grokpedia is clearly so much more factual and unbiased and easier to read source documents. And this is only version 0.1. So yeah, from origin of SARS-CoV-2 from Wikipedia says, yes, this was likely transmitted to humans via other animals in nature or during wildlife bushmeat trade, such as in food markets. While other explanations, such as speculation that SARS-CoV-2 was accidentally released from a laboratory, have been proposed. Yeah, you know, like the House committee that investigated it, like the scientists that were in charge of it. I mean, it's not just that we know the lab leak theory is legitimate. We also know the way that Fauci and others collaborated with the media to hide that reality and lie about the source of SARS-CoV-2. So it's not like it's not even like the lab leak theory is a theory. It's absolutely confirmed. And their criminal knowledge of that and the concealment of that is also confirmed in their own words from their own emails. So Wikipedia is just lying to you and Grok is telling you the truth. Say scientific sentiment surveys indicate support for natural origin among virologists, but early dismissal of lab leak as conspiratorial, often by researchers with ties to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, suggests institutional biases may skew consensus. That's a nice way of putting it. Maybe we need our own. It's like Grok's good, but can somebody just turn Alex Jones into AI? That's what we really need. When you look up SARS-CoV-2, it should just say what we all know. If InfoWars had a Wikipedia and you looked at SARS-CoV-2, it would say, COVID-19 was created in a lab on purpose by Anthony Fauci at the behest of the CIA in collaboration with Mossad to release on purpose as part of a long-standing plan to enslave humanity. That's the reality. That's the truth. And you see what they, you see what they say about George Floyd too. Who do you think is more honest about George Floyd?
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack, in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by the one and only Brianna Morello. You can, of course, follow her on X at Brianna Morello and see her every weekday morning on American Journal, 8 to 11 a.m. here on InfoWars. Brianna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here. We're learning a little bit more about the lawfare that was used in the last administration.
More and more and more. We keep finding more out about just how criminal the previous regime truly was. What have we found out here? Have you been able to dig into some of the revelations about Arctic frost, and what have you found?
Yeah, well, the House Judiciary Committee just dropped this. Chairman Jim Jordan's office is sending this over, and it's about 198 pages worth of just new documents that are being released. And a lot of it's already what we've known for a very long time now, that obviously the special prosecutor, Jack Smith's office, was targeting individuals very close to President Trump, and even people who weren't close to President Trump, who maybe just might have been organizing events, they were targeted too in all of this. The names are pretty consistent, people we've told you about before: Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman. Some new names, though. Ed Martin, which is the president's now pardon attorney and one who's in charge of the weaponization over at the DOJ as well.
Right.
He might have been under investigation. It's hard to tell from some of these documents. Also, a good friend of mine who sadly passed away a couple of months ago, Bernard Carrick's name appears on this list as well. So it looks like even Hope Hicks is on this list too.
Oh,
it
wow.
looks like there's a bunch of people who are being named now on this. We don't know how long this was taking place or if they were really going about getting criminal charges filed against these individuals. We just see that their names are now populated in these documents.
And since the names are in the documents, that means they were being spied on, or they were having their calls surveilled or call logs monitored.
Yeah, that they were being looked into, whether they were communicating with the White House or President Trump directly to see about the election challenge. Now, again, Bernard Carrick was working with Rudy Giuliani, and I could tell you this in detail. I mean, they were going state to state trying to get the states to step in on the election fraud allegations. And so there's really no reason to have him here because he was also somebody who was helping with the legal challenge.
Right.
They didn't like the lawyers, though, so they were going after the lawyers, as you could tell, also John Eastman being on that list. There's 45 individuals who were under investigation for Arctic frost. And the interesting part in all of this, they actually use the FBI field offices as well. So although they'll tell you that they stayed away from all of that, no, no, no. The FBI field offices were also conducting interviews. There are several documents that list just that.
Yeah, and as I read, I mean, it seems like it was the FBI that started this. I mean, the FBI field office, they say, requested the senior official's authorization. So it was Chris Wray who wrote this memo, sent it to Merrick Garland, who's, I guess, underling, encouraged him to sign it. So he signed off on this, and then it was handed off to Jack Smith, right? So this wasn't Jack Smith starting off. This was the FBI starting off this investigation.
Yeah, it needed all three of their permission, the AG, the deputy AG, and the FBI director. And it looks like, according to Chuck Grassley's office, who dropped that document, I believe it was last week as well, all three of them had to sign off on it before this kicked off. So, yeah, this was obviously well orchestrated.
Yeah.
And all the key players who we've already known about are all involved in this.
Yeah, and I'm just confused by it. Maybe you can help me wrap my mind around this, because so far I've seen that sort of the justification for this surveillance is they were looking into, quote, an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. And I already went off on this a while on the show, but that's not a crime as far as I can tell. So how did they justify this if there's no underlying crime? Or am I missing something?
We're all missing something. It's not just you. I mean,
okay.
I'm sitting here reading it, and I'm writing people, I'm like, who are on this list, and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't see a crime here they're alleging against you. Am I missing like a home run? I asked one of the attorneys listed on here, and he said, no, you're not actually missing anything. Everything that you're seeing right now is accurate, and you're kind of right for not seeing the crime here. It's interesting to note, too, Doug Mastriano is also on this list as well. I probably should have mentioned that. He was running for Pennsylvania governor as well. He's someone who obviously does a lot of events for election fraud. I know he appeared a couple of times over at Mike Lindell's events as well. But I kind of want to get back to the Jeff Clark angle on all of this, because ultimately, Jeff Clark is still dealing with the lawfare. They're trying to disbar him in Washington, D.C. Bill Barr stepped in on that one, which kind of shocked me. So did the DOJ as well. They're trying to stop that from happening. But they knew that Jeff Clark didn't commit a crime. And we now have the documents to back it up. They allege that Jeff Clark wrote a letter that was supposed to get sent over to Georgia outlining the allegations of potential election fraud. That's what he was focused on. Now, hear me out. DOJ was receiving a lot of tips regarding election fraud in 2020. Bill Barr stopped all of that.
Right.
So what was supposed to happen at the time, and it's great to see Bill Barr stepping in and saving Jeff, though, what was supposed to happen at the time is there were rumors that President Trump was going to get rid of Bill Barr and put Jeff Clark in his position so that he could investigate the election fraud, because Bill Barr was actively standing in the way.
Yeah.
So as a result of all of that, they went after Bill Barr.
They went after Jeff Clark.
Yeah, they now still to this day are trying to disbar him. They raided his home. They indicted him in Fulton County as well. Even though that letter was never sent, that's what these new documents say. The letter was never sent. President Trump stepped in and said, I'm not going to do that. Let's not send it over to Georgia, warning them of potential election fraud. Leave it alone. But they still to this day have been targeting Jeff Clark over that letter that was never sent.
Wow. And I remember when Bill Barr was stepping in and going, don't worry, we'll investigate this, and then just not investigating at all. And I remember, specifically, I remember, I think it was the AG of Pennsylvania was investigating it, and he came in, and Bill Barr came in and shut that whole thing down. Unless I'm mistaken, maybe it's Jeff Clark I'm thinking of, but I think it was the AG of Pennsylvania was also looking into this. So, I mean, Bill Barr shut down the investigations into the claims of fraud during the election. So we didn't get any, you know, official information, no official investigation, no official statements other than, no, it never happened, safest election of all time. Until January 6th, when it was sort of our last ditch moment to get that 10-day investigation. That was like the last, you know, the final effort to try to get somebody to look into these claims. Now we're learning that behind the scenes, they weren't just ignoring or, you know, shutting down the investigations into these claims. They were personally targeting the people doing the investigations.
Yeah, and that's what you see outlined right here. All the people that were involved in this, everyone who had some type of role in just trying to see if there was election fraud, I mean, they are on this list. And it's not even people who may have done something criminal. It's people who may have wanted to go about the legal routes of challenging the election. And, you know, you're mentioning the AG, what was happening under Bill Barr over at the, over at the DOJ at the time. The FBI actively was shutting down any tips that came in as well. There was a supervisor who I spoke to who wanted to stay anonymous, but pretty much told me that in emails after J6, he actually sent an email back saying, hey, we're getting all these election fraud tips in. What do you want us to do with this? Because my agents are asking to investigate it. And because he put that in writing, the next day he was asked to pack up his stuff and to leave. Whoa. After spending years over at the FBI. So he was forced into retirement for simply asking what to do with all these tips.
For acknowledging that there were tips, because then they couldn't say, no, we didn't get any tips because he sent that email. They now have to acknowledge, yes, there were tips, and they have to come up with a reason. Wow, and so he was fired, huh?
He was fired, yeah, because he left a paper trail as a FOIA bill, so I could have Freedom of Information requested those emails, which I'm sure they would have buried, and had those contacts and been able to read through it.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of so much other stuff. You know, one thing I was just talking about is the fact that, you know, Anthony Fauci and these other people went out and said, you know, we need to counter this narrative, and it's like, okay, that's just evidence of their foreknowledge. So when you have the FBI, if they were not corrupt, then they get, you know, complaints of fraudulence, they would look into it. The fact that they already have a decision made before they even hear the complaint shows that they know more than they're telling. Does that make sense?
It does. They knew exactly what was going on behind the scenes, and they wanted nothing to do with the investigation because likely they were in on the fraud. I mean, there's no other way to angle any of this. The fact that they were going after people and they wanted to send a clear message before they knew there was any crimes committed, which there were none, but before they could do any of that, they went after his lawyers. I mean, even Jenna Ellis is listed on here as well. Jenna Ellis, John Eastman, obviously Rudy Giuliani. I mean, people who were listed in all of this, who were obviously, even Christina Bob, another attorney for President Trump, all of his lawyers were targeted in all of this. And this list is extremely extensive. Now, why would they do this? Well, they do this to get you to never challenge an election ever again. If they make you the main target in all of this, you'll never challenge anything. You'll never talk about election fraud. You'll never target these people. And so that's what you see laid out here. Do you see these people who are intentionally being targeted by the federal government, by the deep state operatives, because they want to make sure moving forward, not a single candidate for any position ever challenges an election or could find legal representation to help them in that challenge?
Yeah, and I remember after January 6th, they went back and said, yeah, we're going to undo that rule where you get, you know, this day or this 10-day investigative period if you want to object. They said, well, we're not going to do that anymore. So now, you know, there is no ability for the representatives to call anything out. So if you can get the DOJ to ignore claims of election fraud, then you're home free, essentially. There's nothing anybody can do to reverse the proclaimed decision, even if it's proven to be fraudulent.
Yeah, that's why I want to interview with Bill Barr, because I want to figure out why he stood in the way. I mean, three times election fraud tips were shut down on his end, where he personally, according to my sources, and jumped on calls with these people and tried to get them to stop talking about it altogether. He literally told them to shut it down and stop.
Right.
And so he was really one of the key people who did not want any of this exposed.
And that again, you know, so much of this stuff, it's like, okay, yes, this is all terrible, but it's also all built on top of the real crime, which was the stolen election of 2020. So again, it's like, you know, we were joking before we went live, and I was saying on the show, it's like, okay, it's like we found another dead body of a serial killer, and it's like, how many more do we need? At what point do we have enough information to go after these people in a real, tangible way? Is what was revealed today, is this a real substantial step in that direction? Or is this just more information for information's sake, do you think?
I'm not going to oversell it to you. I'm going to shoot straight. I think it's more information. Nothing's going to be done. I'm really disappointed right now with the DOJ. I keep asking questions, not getting any answers. I don't think that there's any true answers here where they're going to go after these people. You know, The good news, though, is I think President Trump sees it. You know, my sources tell me that the AG over in Missouri was shifted over, Bailey was shifted over to the FBI as a co-deputy director, not because he's actually working for the FBI, but probably because he's warming up in the bullpen to be thrown into the DOJ in case they don't start making these indictments and start going after these key people, because they understand, the president understands, he has a very limited window at this point. And so I do believe that Bailey's up next, according to my sources who are in his office before he exited and went over to the FBI. He let his office know that probably within the next 6 months he'll be making his way over to the Department of Justice, and he's bringing them with him.
Well, good, because, yeah, as you point out, I mean, we have very little, we always had very little time, and that time is rapidly vanishing. This is another release. There have been a bunch of releases from the House GOP today. This is another one, House Judiciary GOP. New documents prove Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney were working hand-in-hand with Jack Smith. The partisan J6 committee provided transcripts, documents, and text messages, all to take down President Trump and his associates. And of course, what they did with the January 6th committee, I think, was criminal on the face of it, because it was, for all intents and purposes, a show trial. I mean, they brought up evidence to present to like they were prosecuting a criminal case, only the defendant wasn't there and didn't get to present any evidence of their own. And apparently these people were working hand in hand with Jack Smith to provide information about that. Do you think we're going to see any justice for the January 6th committee and their, In my opinion, just flagrantly un-American and unconstitutional activity?
Well, I hope their pardon gets tossed, because they don't deserve a pardon, and obviously that was auto pen. I'd like to also say, too, a lot of the evidence that they presented during their public hearings wasn't actual evidence. They showed a gun, which they said was a gun, but it wasn't a real gun,
right,
during their first day of their public hearing, and it was intentionally meant to tilt the scales against the Oath Keepers, because they knew a lot of this evidence they were presenting would never make its way into a courtroom because it wasn't credible. Now, also keep in mind, too, they don't have to go the same legal routes that Jack Smith would have to go to obtain text messages and phone call records, because they aren't criminal investigators. They're just a congressional committee. And so what we saw is we saw all of these people, including Adam Kinzinger, grab all of these phone records and everything that they could. And then they tried, we don't know if the FBI ever took it, but he tried right before the election to give it over to the FBI as evidence. Now, again, they can't do that, but they did it anyway, because they are the real criminals. They are treasonous pigs. They need to be held accountable.
Wow. And speaking of phone logs, Alex Jones is mentioned in this story on page 72. And he's not one of the people that they have warrants for, although I guess they're not even really warrants. They're just subpoenas. So, but he wasn't named in this yet. His name shows up because they have Alex Jones's cell phone as the role that this guy was playing. In other words, he turned over Alex Jones' cell phone. Do we know anything else about how his cell phone was used, who was looking at it, how they got a hold of it, anything like
that? Nope, I haven't seen anything come forward yet. Hopefully we could find out something soon, though, but there was nothing in there that was citing that at all.
Still seems like a pretty egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment and warrantless search and seizure if you can get somebody's all of the information on their phone without ever actually charging them with the crime. And this is what they do, right? Merrick Garland came out and made this big statement about Tim Pool and Tenant Media and all this stuff. Those people were never accused of a crime. In fact, they were cleared of the crimes they were investigated for. But it's like the process is the punishment. They can investigate you if they find something good. If not, they just, you know, it doesn't matter. You can go back in Jack Smith's history. The only thing he did before he was appointed here was he ruined a politician in Virginia's life with totally fake claims and accusations against him, because they put the guy through the legal ringer, and eventually the decisions were overturned by the appellate court. But by that point, the guy's had his reputation ruined. So it seems like they were trying to do something like that. There was no underlying crime. There was no sort of ultimate court case at the end of this. They were just using the power they had in whatever way they could to try to get information to better, you know, defeat the Republicans. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, no, that seems absolutely fair. And I think that's what's going on here. I think that they tried their very best to get any type of charge that could get stick. The ultimate goal here is, I asked one of the attorneys who's on the list as well, for Arctic Frost, I said, well, what do you think they were trying to do when they requested your financial records? And he said, probably, you know, see, obviously if I was anything sketchy, but most importantly, to see how much of the lawfare I could fight off. If I had an arsenal of financials in my bank accounts, they probably wanted to size it up to see how quickly I could flip. And, you know, there were the reports that Jeff Clark was going to flip in the Fulton County investigation that was going on. I know when Jenna Ellis did shortly after, there were reports that Jeff was next. And I specifically reached out to Jeff and asked him, like, are you planning on flipping? He said, the president never did anything wrong. I never did anything wrong. There's nothing to flip on here. And anyone who tells you that they're flipping is making up a crime so that they could save themselves. So, yeah.
Same thing I heard from the Oath Keepers and a number of other people. I mean, that it's just the method they use. And with the Oath Keepers, it was, you know, very blatant. It was, okay, we're going to send you to jail for 20 years unless you tell us what we want to hear, which is that this was an insurrection and, you know, it was all organized by Stuart Rhodes or whatever. Yeah. And some people did flip that way, and they don't care if it's true or not. They want somebody to testify against it. And if it's somebody who's close to the person you're trying to get, it's all the more powerful, right? This is Trump's own lawyer saying this, so it has to be true. So, I mean, this is all just gamesmanship and lawfare, and the lawfare is still going on.
Yeah, Enrique Tarrio even told me, too, I assume the reason why he was given such a stiff sentence, the highest out of all, I believe it was 22 years, was because they asked him to take a plea, and in it, he had to pretend like he orchestrated January 6th with President Trump through someone third party. And because he didn't make that lie, he didn't go along with it. They threw the book at him for somebody who wasn't there that day. So the goal here, and even Stuart Rhodes, I was talking to him when he was in jail, warned me that everything that's happening to him is a blueprint for what's going to happen to President Trump next. Yep. And that's what they were looking to do here. So that's exactly what they did here. They used lawfare. They went after these people. They went after low people on totem pole as well. People who probably didn't have a lot of financials to defend all of this. We saw that in the Fulton County case. Again, nothing there. They built a RICO case out of nothing. And what's the penalty for all this? So far, nothing.
Yeah, so far it's been nothing. What should be the penalty for this? I mean, you know, again, the whole second Trump administration has been like, yay, this is great. But where's the beef? Where's the actual, like, people going to prison? We keep getting more and more information, but information is not worth anything if it's not then used to inform the actual prosecution of the of these people and the crimes they committed. What do we need to do? What do we need to do to get this actually to get conclusions to this and punishment for this?
Yeah, I think public pressure goes a long way with this administration. True. So folks need to speak up on this front and not let up on it. You know, they gave us three indictments, three people who even Tish James, I wouldn't even count her because she had nothing to do with any of this, although she had a lot to do with the ones in New York, but not this specifically. The other two were all former Republicans, served in his administration. Again, no one that the deep state has loyalty to, because they had loyalty to the deep state, I'd say. These people who were all a part of this need to be targeted. You know, I spoke with Senator Tommy Tuberville. We had him on our show, and Senator Tommy Tuberville is advocating to disbar Jack Smith. That's a great start. Like it. But the reality of it is I don't see the D.C. bar doing that. We need to go after these people. They need to be held accountable. They need to be dragged into criminal court and embarrassed. We need mugshots. We need the raids at 6 a.m. I mean, that's what they did to people. Like, I keep saying Jeff Clark, but Jeff Clark is the best example of all of this. You know, they raided his home. They wouldn't even let the guy put on pants, even though they could have just asked him to turn himself in. They wouldn't even let him put on pants. And then they released the still image of his body cam footage of one of the officers who was there. And he's in his boxers. And they did it intentionally to embarrass him. And that is a part of the lawfare here, is to really shame these people who are credible individuals.
Yeah, and it's so brutal and vicious. And I was just pulling up, you know, Giuliani disbarred in D.C. This is from all the way back in September of 2024. Here are all the other ex-Trump lawyers now facing legal consequences. So, you know, this was another strategy they pursued, was going after the lawyers to try to deny people legal representation. Like, how is that not a crime? That can't be legally allowed. You should be able to hire the lawyers that you want, but they're running an intimidation campaign to drive people away from taking on Donald Trump or anybody in the MAGA movement as a client. And that, again, is just more abuse of power, more abuse of process. And we need to see something done about all this.
Yeah, we do. And sadly, you know, Rudy Giuliani was also sued, and he really didn't have a fair case in Georgia, and they bankrupt the guy.
Yeah.
His entire life.
And it made him turn in his, like, father's watch that he inherited.
His World Series Yankee rings that he had. He had to turn those in, too. His car, I believe, he also, or he might still have that one Mercedes. But everything else he's had to turn over. He's lost everything. I mean, everything, for representing a client that they didn't like. It's absolutely devastating. But he's bankrupt now from all of this. And, you know, the fact that nothing is coming of it, I don't think we're doing Giuliani any justice either.
Well, you know, the other flip side of this is that nothing came out of these investigations. And I was talking about this earlier, how same thing with Russiagate. My sort of interpretation of this is they think that we're criminals because they're criminals. And they, you know, will go and investigate Trump, assuming that they'll find something. You know, it's just a fishing expedition, but they assume that he's got to have something criminal in there. So we'll just get this surveillance. We'll spy on him and we'll find something to run on. And then they don't find anything. Seems like the same thing happened here. They had all these phone records, all these financial records. They had all of Alex Jones's cell phone, and there was nothing there. There was no crime that they could even find after all of this investigation and years of surveillance. we're not the criminals here.
Yeah, remember when they jumped Mike Lindell in the parking lot for the drive-through parking lot and grabbed his phone
from him?
Yeah, they tried everything. I guess this really means, though, that these people really aren't criminals. So they couldn't find one crime. And there's a lot of laws in our federal government, even on our state levels. They couldn't find one charge to stick. I actually think none of these people are criminals.
That's what it appears to be. Of course, Jack Smith's a criminal and Merrick Garland's a criminal.
Yeah.
But they're just being allowed to do this. So you got 45 individuals, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, Mark Meadows. I mean, these are very high up people. Who else? And then another 111 individuals. So, I mean, we're talking about over 150 people really at the highest levels of MAGA being investigated when no crime was ever even committed. I mean, just strip away all of the legalism. What this is just one party in power using the surveillance state to spy on their enemies.
Yeah. And what comes of it? Nothing. I mean, no one's really asking the tough questions here that we should be asking. I mean, these people need to go to prison for what they did. It's going to happen again. And you know, the part that really gets me fired up, Harrison, is the fact that those senators, now there's nine of them, because Ted Cruz was just also added to the list of getting their phone records, Jack Smith did, and whoever was communicating with President Trump directly. They have nine of these individuals. A lot of them are even rhinos, and they had their records taken. Lindsey Graham, who I happen to think is scum, was so angry because his records were taken and handed over. And he wanted accountability just because his records were taken. None of these other people who are, I would say, mostly are average Americans who didn't serve. You know, Steve Bannon, obviously, yeah. Bernie Kerik wasn't working in government either. Ed Martin wasn't working in government either. So there's a lot of people who weren't working in government who were targeted during all of this. Nobody's really calling for justice for any of them. I mean, these senators have some cojones on them to sit back and tell us that we should all be outraged for them because they are some special class of citizens that shouldn't be targeted by Jack Smith's office. But now we don't really hear much from them on these sound bites. They're not giving us much.
That's so true. I haven't heard Lindsey Graham, you know, give an angry, fiery speech about how Bank of America handed over every financial record to anybody who visited Washington, D.C. on January 6th. He didn't come out, you know, raging about all of the other surveillance where people were tagged for buying Bibles or shopping at Bass Pro Shop. You know, that was also an egregious violation that we don't even remember anymore because nothing ever happened because they didn't care because it wasn't them. It really is kind of sickening. But hey, I guess that's what it takes. If what it took was them being spied on, well, you've been spied on now. Time to do something. No more excuses. But, you know, what is it going to take to get these people to do something about this? I don't know. I'm just asking the same question over and over because it's just like, yeah. It's so obvious. Just like, go after these people. We don't have to tell you that. You should know this.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to be the most powerful attorneys in the country right now. I think that honestly that they're afraid, Harrison. Mm. I think they're afraid that if the next administration is Democrat, that all of them are going to get rounded up because it sounds like to me, people that I speak to, both Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche aren't doing anything. Things continue to fall on their desk. And although I know that they would disagree with that statement, they would say that they are overwhelmed with their work and there is a lot of work piling up on their desk. You know, I constantly am trying to advocate for even just basic pardons that I know that are pardons that are being pushed through and they're landing on Todd Blanche's desk. I've had confirmations of this. You know, we just sent a police officer to prison in the Breonna Taylor shooting who didn't shoot Taylor.
Right.
He's now receiving death threats in prison, which is also run by the DOJ. They just toss him in solitary confinement and that's it. That's their way of handling it rather than let's just pardon this guy because he's eligible. We didn't want him to go to jail in the first place, but a rogue judge sent him there. So there's a lot of things landing on Todd Blanche's and Pam Bondi's desk that just, it's like a graveyard at this point.
Yeah, they're not doing enough, and that's an understatement. I really can't figure out exactly what they are doing. It would be one
shutting
thing
down Alex Jones investigations.
Well, there you go. Right, it's like the stuff that they are doing is not good enough, and they're not doing what they should be doing. And it would be one thing if they're like, "Oh, we're overwhelmed, and every day we're delivering." But like, if you're so overwhelmed, where's one thing you've done? Yeah. Where's one case you've laid on? That would be enough to at least convince us you're doing something. Well, it's. You know, we'll keep calling for it and praying that Trump recognizes, you know, the real situation that we're in and the status of the American Republic is as tenuous as it truly is. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us again. See Brianna tomorrow morning on American Journal, 8 to 11 a.m. here on InfoWars and follow her at Brianna Morello on X. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll be right back, folks.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bok, quack, quack, kong, whatever it is. You know, that little word, ooga chaka munga bok, woom kong, kong. That'd be really good.
This is actually an executive order designating the cartels and other organizations to be foreign terrorist organizations.
That's a big one.
Yes, sir.
People have wanted to do this for years. So they are now designated as terrorist organizations, foreign. And Mexico probably doesn't want that. But we have to do what's right.
Their influence reaches right up into DHS all the way to Congress. There are so many people on the payroll, I'm told, after my visit down to the border. It's frightening.
American officials on the payroll of Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah.
This is what they hope the public never figures out. This is the real evil that Trump has shut down. That's real. And that's a win. And we should take the good things Trump is able to do and celebrate those. And when he goes the wrong direction, put pressure on him, he's going to go back the right way. I'm not black-pilled. I'm not white-pilled. I'm victory-pilled. I'm reality-pilled. I'm engaged.
My organization, ODNI, our national counterterrorism team, we're playing an integral role in this and establishing for the first time a national intelligence fusion cell. Why this matters is because it allows us to take the intelligence that we're collecting, foreign intelligence. It allows us to work with our federal, state, and local law enforcement, those who have their boots on the ground, on the front lines of this operation, to make sure that we're getting real-time intelligence and information going.
How do you know that your partners in Mexico are truly partners when we know that Claudia Sheinbaum, for example, is an ally of Nicolas Maduro? It's every action she's done in the last few months proves that.
It's a legitimate question, of course. This is something where we're looking at how we can vet as much as possible, both with the information that we have available, but also through the relationship building that is going on at the lowest level.
Much to the chagrin of a whole abhorrent industry of child trafficking that prospered from the open border policies of the Biden administration for 4 years, 2021, 22, 23, and 24. Much to the chagrin of these people that made bank, man. We're coming after them. And this executive branch is building criminal files. So I hope they're watching, and I hope they're frightened, and I hope they're getting their affairs in order, hiring their liberal attorneys to defend them. Starting to shuffle their money around. We'll find it.
A cartel banner was discovered in Los Cabos, Baja California Sur, reportedly signed by La Chapiza, a fraction of the Sinaloa cartel linked to Los Chapos. The message, which was quickly removed by the authorities, contained direct threats aimed to U.S. officials and American citizens residing in the area. According to preliminary information, the banner specifically named FBI Director Kash Patel, The president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, and Mexico security chief, Omar Garcia Harfuch. The text warned of a wave of violence against American tourists in retaliation for the seizure of several illicit shipments in recent days. The message further stated that every American citizen who resides in Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo, it is being targeted, declaring, we are the ones who call the shots, and we are the ones in charge. Authorities removed the banner swiftly to prevent widespread panic among the local community and the large American population living in Los Cabos. If this it is confirmed, this will be the mark of the first publicly posted cartel threat against FBI Director Cash Patel on Mexican soil by the organized crime and the cartel.
The arrest of a Sinaloa cartel boss, El Plato, another dangerous Sinaloa cartel member responsible for tracking a huge amounts of cocaine. The arrest of a CJNG cartel-affiliated baby trafficker called La Diabla. Her whole money-making operation was centered around luring pregnant women, performing illegal C-sections, harvesting organs, and selling newborn babies.
And they'd be handing Hispanic babies to Eastern European men, African black men who couldn't even speak English. And it turned out, of course, upwards of 80% were not their families, weren't even their same culture. And yeah, this is CIA contractors smuggling kids. I mean, look at this little girl. My God.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour is on. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a special dispatch from Alex Jones. Minutes ago, you can find this on his X account at Real Alex Jones. Breaking exclusive, the Biden administration's illegal Arctic frost surveillance program targeted not only GOP U.S. senators, but also members of the Trump administration and talk show host Alex Jones. We're learning more about this by the minute. We have some breaking reports from Catherine Herridge that I want to go to on the other side. But first, here's Alex Jones responding to the fact that his name is mentioned in this surveillance docket published by the House GOP Oversight Committee earlier today. Here it is.
It is the evening of October 28th, 2025. And here at the InfoWars embattled headquarters in Austin, Texas, we just learned that the House Judiciary Committee just released documents from the Arctic Frost criminal globalist dragnet against President Trump that I was one of the central targets to be taken down, not just the U.S. senators. We're about to reveal this treasonous information right now. Well, the head of the House Judiciary Committee just about an hour ago released documents he got from Senator Chuck Grassley's Judiciary Committee that proves that Jack Smith and the Democratic Party had a giant illegal dragnet in Operation Arctic Frost, not just on nine U.S. senators and House members, not just on Trump, his family, and his lawyers, that's totally illegal, without even warrants, but on journalists like Alex Jones. In fact, I'm the only journalist listed on there, and they talk in the documents about how they couldn't get it through a subpoena because we blocked that, but they got my phone records through a civil lawsuit, which the Justice Department has already been caught previously running. Total, complete violation of rights, conspiracy against rights, absolute violation of my civil rights. Incredible. So here's the Arctic Frost investigation, now being exposed by Senator Chuck Grassley, one of the biggest scandals
in U.S. history. Biden FBI spied on 8, it's now 9, Republican senators as part of Arctic Frost investigation. Grassley oversight reveals. Merrick Garland, Chris Ray signed off on Arctic Frost probe. The target GOP group spied on senators. Documents showed. And here are the new documents that have been released. And they say a lot more is coming. So much of it is blacked out. But when you get deeper into who they admit that they were illegally spying on, Alex Jones's cell phone, Patrick Cipollone, White House counsel, spying on the president's lawyers, totally illegal. John DeSanto, senator, it goes on and on and on. James Fitzpatrick, Sarah Hall Clay Lee, that's the name of the lawyers. Andrew Hitt, Wisconsin Republican Party chair. Greg Jacob, counsel to Vice President Pence, deputy assistant to the president. Total spy dragnet. Deputy White House counsel, Patrick Philbin. Robert Senators, director of Election Day operations in Georgia. And it goes on and on. Another senator, Judy Ward. Their lawyer, Jim Clancy. And then the law firms of the Republican Party and Trump spying on all of them in live time, using back channels to get a copy of my cell phone. This is what these people are up to. I am honored to have been targeted by these people. And of course, they never indicted me for J6. I was there trying to stop people going in the building. Trump said peacefully march the Capitol. We had a stage set up and the Fed's insurrection. The FBI director got caught lying about, had 274 FBI agents there helping foment the riot. And so now this has all come out. I'm really proud of our reporter, Brianna Morello, who broke this hours before Jim Jordan even released the information. She got it from his House Judiciary Committee, again, who got it from Senator Grassley's committee. And we're told a lot more is about to be released, a lot more revelations. We have Secretary of State Marco Rubio coming out. Of course, there were 12 names the State Department was secretly targeting. I'm on that list. I mean, this is quite the story. But why were they targeting me? Because they know I understand their blueprint. They know I've rallied tens of millions of people for the cause of America. And if they can shut me down, they believe they can shut down everybody else after me. They need to silence me. They need to put me in prison so they can then misrepresent me and build straw men. I can tell you, we already have lawsuits going against these people, but now we have serious conspiracy against my rights, violations of process, absolute total government racketeering, and we are going to be taking legal action against this. But imagine what more is going to come out next. This is a government weaponized against the American people. This is the type of garbage we're talking about with the DOJ and private law firms, with the Congress and Democrats, working to weaponize the entire system and try to destroy people that simply speak out with free speech against them, who are trying to lower an iron curtain of tyranny down over Washington and the rest of the United States. And these very same law firms that have been running all of this and have got their fake hearings and their fake courts and their fake judgments and judges that find me guilty and have HBO-produced show trials know that the clock is ticking. Guess who else has been targeted by Operation Arctic Frost? Ed Martin, a former U.S. attorney, now the head of Trump's government weaponization task force. He's being targeted by all of this because he's willing to stand up for the American people. So stand with us, ladies and gentlemen. Justice must be served. Jack Smith is a major target now for his criminal activity, very close to being indicted, like Comey and like Letitia James and, of course, John Bolton. But a lot more is coming. This isn't about vengeance. Not about retribution. It's about justice. If we don't expose this giant criminal operation, and if we don't punish those that ran it and did it, John Brennan was the kingpin under Obama and Hillary, then they're going to continue to do this in the future, and they pledged to continue this in the future. And that's why they've shut the government down. That's why they're cutting off the EBT money in a hope that they can trigger a civil war, but America sees through it. God bless you all. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. And on Rumble at the Alex Jones Network channel, InfoWars has a receiver put over it by the Democrats, by their judges. We're very close to being shut down. It could be imminent. But regardless, we'll continue on the Alex Jones Network at AJ and Live on X. And you'll find the newest network and all the stuff we're going to launch at Real Alex Jones. So be sure and follow us there. Because remember, the bad guys want us off the air for a reason. Because we're effective with the truth. And we've got their number. And they know that we represent the American people. And that we are peacefully with the truth coming for them and their tyranny, dismantling it legally and lawfully. So again, as usual, I'm one of the central targets, along with White House counsel and U.S. senators, a very short list, by these people, because they know that we're telling the truth, and they know that if the truth continues to get out there, they're all going to go to prison. God bless you all. Now, please support us. Please pray for us. Please visit our shopping cart at thealexjonesstore.com for Patriot Apparel, the very best supplements, because that's what funds this operation so we can continue to fight on against these people and win. I've done my part. Now I'm counting on you for your word of mouth, your prayer, your financial support right now at thealexjonesstore.com. God bless you.
Thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Get ultramethylene red to combine with your ultramethylene blue. Go purple. Go all the way purple, folks. If you like methylene blue, you really should try methylene red. It's designed specifically to maximize the power of ultramethylene blue, and it keeps us on the air. It keeps us in the fight. You know, I know you've heard me say that every day for the last 5 years, but that's because it's true. And I maybe explained this too much, but in case you're new here, in case you don't know how this whole operation works, it's very simple. We deliver to you, and in turn, we ask that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. It really is that simple. Everything that we do at InfoWars is funded by you, by the audience. We don't have big sponsors. We don't have big funders. We don't have billionaires. You know, with us in their back pocket, we have you. And if you think we do a good job of delivering the news and telling you what the real story is and providing entertainment for 10 hours a day at least, plus all the extra videos, plus all of the other content, if you appreciate that, then we ask you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you do, that keeps us funded. That keeps us in the black. We are able to build out more studios and create more shows and continue operation. If you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com, we go bankrupt, we stop producing, and we go away. It really is as simple as that. If you want us to be around, go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you don't, don't. It really is as simple as that. It's the most straightforward organization you could possibly imagine. We don't have promo codes with groups. We don't have pharmacy, you know, big pharma advertising with us. We have you, thealexjonesstore.com. Infowars.com, Bandai Video, and all of our social media. And as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, we'll be on the air fighting with everything we've got. And we hope that you appreciate it and find it worth it. And really, it's even better than that, because we could provide 10 hours of information and just ask you to contribute. But we don't even do that. We give you, in return, incredible life-changing supplements. We don't tell people to call in and tell us about their supplements, but I can't open up the phone lines without hearing about 15 different stories. I'm not complaining. I'm saying this like I'm complaining. No, it's just amazing. It's just amazing that every time we open up the phone lines, a dozen people call in about how their lives have been changed by the supplements. We don't pay them to do that, folks, because our supplements are incredible. So not only are you supporting this singular outlet, not only are you keeping us alive in you know, in a way, spitting in the face of all the people who are trying to kill us. But you also get an incredible product that would be well worth it at the cost, even if none of this other stuff existed. So in case you needed any more reasons, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You don't have to trust us. Trust our enemies. Trust our enemies. They're your enemies too. So if you want to defeat the people that hate you, that are trying to kill you, that are destroying your country and nation and trying to imprison you in a slave camp for the rest of your life, you should probably support us, because they hate us. Those people despise us and have spent tens of millions of dollars, rigged their own programs, violated their own laws. They have pulled out every stop to try to destroy us. But it doesn't matter. They can have all the offices they want. They can have all the big tech in their pocket. They can have all the, you know, NGOs trying to sway people from the ADL to the SPLC. They have all this giant power apparatus backing them up. But we have you, so we're fine, actually. Actually, we keep winning because we have you. And you're more powerful than all of them combined, as long as you decide to get active, get involved, make a contribution, or participate in whichever way you're capable of. We beat them every time. But if we lay down, if you put your shield down, if you give up, they win. It really is as simple as that. Everything we do is simple, folks. Simple, simple, simple. It's not, none of this is complicated. I was watching a video from a really fantastic creator named Chad Jackson, I think his name is. Chad O. Jackson, if I'm not mistaken. He does a lot of really great stuff about how Martin Luther King was a communist and how the whole, civil rights movement was kind of a giant fraud. And I was watching one of his videos today, and he was just going off on the academic language of the left and how communists have terrible ideas, but the best words. They have so many words to say absolutely nothing. And he showed this clip, and I should have grabbed it because I'm not going to be able to recreate it as well. But, you know, the bad guys are the ones who are going to come up and say, it's like, I can't even do it. I can't even imagine the type of stuff they say. They get up and they're just like, the systematic representation of non-melanated individuals is, frankly, more robust than, and it's just like, what are you talking about? And at the end of the day, it's just like, black good, white bad. Like, that's the actual sophistication of their arguments. But they have to dress it up because they got to make themselves sound smart, so you'll be lulled into a false sense of security and go along with what they say, even if you don't understand it. We're simple. We just tell you direct. I don't have a teleprompter. I don't even have a college degree. I've got a bunch of stories and a brain that works and a love of freedom and liberty. And I kind of want to talk about that for a little bit, too, because the word freedom and liberty is getting thrown around a lot these days by people that don't understand what it means or are using it cynically to trick people, more or less. There's nothing more shocking and bizarre than seeing a leftist protest waving the American flag. What? That doesn't make any sense. Or during the, you know, presidential campaign, during the DNC and RNC, seeing people at the DNC waving signs that say freedom. And it's like, you people hate freedom. You don't love freedom. You love using that word when it benefits you to trick people that do love freedom. It's kind of how they feel about democracy, right? It's like when I did the skit of the pitch meeting about the war in Ukraine. You know, there's a part where it's like, oh, democracy, I love that word, right? It's just like, yeah, I just love the word. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Sure, bomb the children, you know? It's just like, well, democracy, they've invoked the word. Therefore, they get to do whatever they want. They do the same thing with freedom or liberty, where it's like, okay, you're talking about Ukraine. The president is not elected. He actually is systematically, actually, I have more stories about that if we want to get into it, about the way Zelensky is just systematically destroying all of the people that may oppose him once he allows elections again. Increasingly authoritarian Zelensky prepares for future elections by targeting rivals. After ousting Odessa head, now he sets his sight on Kiev mayor and former boxer Klitschko, I guess is the guy's name. So, yeah, it's like, you don't actually believe in democracy. You're supporting a tyrant who throws his political opponents in prison. You don't actually love democracy. You don't actually love freedom. I don't think they understand what freedom is. They think freedom is the freedom to sin. That's as far as their interpretation goes. If you're allowed to look at porn and chop your tits off, you're free, according to them. If you're allowed to, you know, just break the law, steal things off the shelf, like that is to them freedom, the freedom to sin. That's what they think, because in their conception, you have authoritarianism, fascism, which believes in God, which believes in an order to the universe, which believes in hierarchy, and therefore believes in personal responsibility to uphold these systems that make life worth living in the civilization that our responsibility has built. You have to actually be worthy of that. To the Democrats, these things are just all evil. If you're telling somebody not to do something that they want to do, you must be the bad guy. They apparently never even thought about this for a little while. I mean, their arguments are just infinitely easy to destroy. But the point of it is, freedom are things that you might not immediately think of when you think of freedom. To me, family is freedom. Family's freedom because I know that if I say something or do something, it gets everybody in the world pissed off at me. I still know I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got sisters, I've got parents, I've got cousins that are always going to have my back. Always. I don't care what you people think. I have my family. Why would I care about you? I have my family. That's freedom. The freedom to say whatever the hell I want and knowing that I have a secure community to go back to. Because security is freedom. Security is freedom. Peace is freedom. As we were pointing out with the people who are making videos about how much safer Memphis is, and they're saying, I can let my kid play in our backyard and not have to worry. Like, if your kid can't play in their yard, you're not free. You can't have peace, or you can't have freedom if you're under threat. No, peace is a requirement for freedom. Order is a requirement for peace. And enforcement is a requirement for order. Therefore, in a kind of ironic way, law is actually a prerequisite for freedom. You see how this works? People don't, I don't know why people don't know this. I don't know why people can't figure this out. And they also, for some reason, can't figure out the outcome and the consequences of this. I've been cracking up at this picture the last couple of days. And we do have more stuff to get into, but this picture just cracks me up. Do we have my computer screen, guys? It says, your country on Democrats versus your country on Republicans. And it's just this propaganda cartoon that I find hilarious. And on the left side of the river, you got the Democratic community. And on the right side of the river, you've got the Republican community. Guys, do we have my computer screen or should I put the picture? And of course, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. Obviously, you know, the right side of it is it's quickie payday loans, big evangelical, you know, televangelist churches. While on the left, it's a union hall and an arch that says art. And an organic cafe with non-white people sitting outside. Isn't that lovely? Now, obviously, this is just, it's just a hilarious joke, considering all the big banks, all the big industry, all the big factory farmers are all dedicated endlessly to leftist ideals. I mean, but putting that to the side, I want to do just go through some of the responses to this, because they are exactly what you would expect. This goes super hard if you're 5 years old. Oomph, are you okay? Seamus, friend of the show, Freedom Tunes, says the scariest thing they can imagine for the Republican dystopia is needing to be a citizen to vote. Yeah, that's one of them. Vote here, if ID approved. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, no. And then, of course, you can actually just post actual photographs of leftist cities to point out your country on Democrats. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, in reality, and it's just a collection of, you know, your average day on the street images of leftist cities, you know, just trash, filth, chaos. So, like, they make cartoons incorrectly, inaccurately portraying right-wing cities as, like, filth and chaos. Meanwhile, leftist cities actually filth and chaos. Man, there's a person burning to death on the subway. Oh, we're just on our way to the city-owned grocery store. Need anything? Need anything from the city-owned grocery store as the officer walks right by? Great. Okay, so that's the reality. This goes super hard if you're retarded. This is only true in New England, which is a hilarious thing to say. Yeah, it's only true in the whitest areas in the country. Yes, the projects, well-known Republican strongholds, certainly. Here you have the community garden in the left wing versus the Chaz community garden, which... really, this was the best it ever looked. That was probably the day it was planted. I'd never seen it look so good. I mean, it doesn't look good, but it looked a lot worse most of the time. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA, I could go on, but I think you get the point. How too liberal. You walk by the burning city and the muggings and the homeless people to tweet bad things about Orange Man. Other people just putting the actual stats. These are murder rates, I believe. Yeah, homicide rates per city. Every single one of them, Democrat, the top 30 in the list. Baton Rouge, Louisiana is the only one, not Republican. So it's just, this is just, you know, one side lives in reality. The other side lives in their dreams. They live in their fevered imagination. Pictures of Baltimore showing the last Republican mayor in 1967. Now add blackouts on the left when there's no wind, a trillion Bomalians living in slums and fentanyl addicts in the street. And then this guy. Yeah, I've heard enough. Republicans, get my vote. Hey, there's only one cyclist in the Republican side, and he's getting knocked by an SUV into the river. So we're good to go here. This is a nice area until all those whites moved in, said nobody ever. And then just the, you know, empty landscape of the burned out Palisade fire because of the combination of, you know, racism and incompetence and lack of seriousness all combined to create the perfect Democrat hellhole.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation, metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum, the first run sold out quick, back in stock. And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality, the OxygenStore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements, the methylene blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowshowstore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But, Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring
ever,
this up.
I don't ever do tell testimonials, what happened. Tell us what happened. But right. I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really...
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
I can complain my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... She came on the show like 6 months ago. And she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you proportion this
time? Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty cleans. Love you, Charlotte.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, final. final segment of the War Room today. I've got some more videos to show you, some more updates to some of the revelations from the House Judiciary Committee today. This is from Cleta Mitchell on X. She says, all right, kids, here it is. Released today by the FBI, nearly 200 pages of formally classified FBI documents posted today on the House Judiciary Committee website and proves that the state law cases with the fake criminal charges against President Trump, Trump lawyers, Trump electors, and supporters were not state-initiated at all. These were all proxies for the feds, the Biden feds, which is an important point, right? All of these cases were brought at the state level and presented as if they were independent investigations, inspired by the people in the states who had seen criminal activity and therefore launched their own investigations. That's not what happened, actually. This was all coordinated and quarterbacked by the FBI, deep staters in the first Trump administration, as well as the Biden DOJ once they got the switch out. The FBI was, with the blessing of the Biden DOJ and no doubt the Biden White House, initiated and conducted the entire investigation of hundreds and hundreds of RNC Trump campaign employees, consultants, lawyers, supporters, all for the purpose of destroying the MAGA movement by prosecuting slash persecuting not only the president, but anyone in his orbit. Look through the documents yourself. See the evidence. These puppet Democrat AGs in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Michigan, not to mention your favorite disgraced slut, Fannie Willis and for Georgia. Dang, Cleta, let us know what you really think. Disgraced slut Willis from Georgia. They were just the puppets of the Biden slash National Democrats who pulled the strings for the indictment on fake charges against Trump and Trump electors, lawyers, and supported. I do not want to hear one more word from these creeps and their sycophants in the left-wing media about Donald Trump being authoritarian. When in American history have we seen this massive all-of-government investigation of normal citizens who committed no crime but simply were supporting or were part of the opposition political party? Never, not ever. It is time to realize these so-called deep state criminal or these so-called criminal state proceedings were a mere proxy for the Biden White House slash DNC slash DOJ slash FBI who concocted a plan to make sure Donald Trump never again could run for president and cripple the entire MAGA movement. There are hundreds and hundreds of victims in this massive conspiracy, and worst of all, it was inflicted on President Trump, the defendants in the Trump elector fake criminal prosecutions, and the J6 prisoners. We cannot let these creeps get away with this any longer. We need more pardons and more investigations and prosecutions of those who deprived hundreds of Americans of their constitutional and civilian rights. Do we need does this need to be a civilian case? Is that our mistake, is trusting the government told these people to account? Do we need a mass case here, a class action lawsuit of everybody mentioned in this suing for violation of their rights? Because that's what happened here. Fourth Amendment violated, never accused of a crime, not allowed to defend themselves, not made aware of the warrant for this stuff being investigated. These are crimes. These are violations of our Bill of Rights. If you can't censor people because of the First Amendment, you can't spy on people because of the Fourth Amendment. This has to be adjudicated. This has to be tried. And these people have to be convicted. In whatever way that needs to happen. I don't care at this point. We don't need more investigations. We don't need to convince the American people this is the case. This is just the case. We know this is the case. We should act as if we know this is the case. These people need to be tried. And if it needs to be in a military tribunal in order to get good results, then that's what we have to do. You know, it's like if you witness a person that you know, like you witness, whatever, Jim Baker. That's a real person, isn't it? Whatever, fake made up. You witness a man named Harry Potter killing your friend, and you know it, and you know everything that happened. You know your friend didn't start it. You know he didn't. It's just you were walking along the street one day with your friend, and Harry Potter came up and cracked him over the head with a sledgehammer. And then you go to court, and the guy gets off, and the guy, Harry Potter, doesn't get charged. Like, it doesn't really matter. You know that he's guilty. You know that he did it. And that's kind of how I feel like we are right now, is like we witnessed the crime. We saw it happen with our own eyes. We know how it happened, who did it, why they did it. We know it all. So now the next step in the process would be getting a judge to hear the evidence and a jury to find them guilty. But if the whole process is rigged, then we just need to kill Harry Potter in whatever way that we can. Right? You know, because where we are now, like in America today, if I saw my friend get murdered, I would try to stop the guy that did it, and I'd want him arrested and held to account and tried, judged, and convicted. But if we were in Libya, or if we were in, you know, Liberia, and that happened, I would just take justice into my own hands, because I wouldn't trust the system, I wouldn't trust the corrupt court system, and I wouldn't be satisfied with putting the, you know, fate of a person I know to be guilty in the hands of a court that I know to be rigged. And that's sort of the situation that we're in. We know these people are guilty. There's no argument they can make otherwise. In every step of the way, we know. And we've known for a decade. Just like we knew the Hunter Biden laptop was legit. Just like we knew Joe Biden was incompetent. Just like we knew Russia collusion was a hoax. Just like we knew COVID came from a lab. We've known all of this, and we've been right the entire time. We keep telling people, we keep showing people, and then nothing happens. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? What do we need to do to get justice? What do we need to do to get people to start listening to us? How many times can we be right about everything? How many times can we go toe-to-toe in direct opposition to everything everyone else is saying and be proven incontrovertibly right at the end of the day? How many times does it take? Even Bill Gates is admitting climate change is a hoax now. Do you realize how substantially we have won in the real world? On the real battlefield in the minds of humanity around the world, we have won victories that I never would have imagined. I mean, do you understand how unbelievably massively we have defeated so many of their hoaxes? I mean, you understand, I said it before, if it was up to them, Anthony Fauci calls 2025 COVID year 5. To him, there's a new BC AD COVID, right? They wanted 2020 to be year zero in a new calendar. That's what they wanted. They wanted the Great Reset. They wanted the starvation. They wanted the mass shutdowns. And this is something that I've always sort of timidly or tepidly defended Donald Trump when it came to Operation Warp Speed. Because again, you know, people have this terrible memory. We at InfoWars, we were the first ones to identify what was going on. We were the first. Nobody got it before we did. Most people hadn't even heard of COVID. They didn't even know anything was going on in China. InfoWars was already telling you that not only was it going to come here, but it was going to be used as an excuse to mandate injections and that those so-called vaccines would be poison. We knew that in January of 2020, okay? We watched Operation Warp Speed in real time, and we told you why he was doing it, and we explained the pressures that he was up against. And by the way, he tweeted out about alternatives to the vaccine like 500 times that year. Hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies. If any of these things had been recognized by the CDC as a viable treatment, then it would have stopped the vaccine dead in its tracks. Trump, every time he got on air during COVID, he tried to calm people down. He told people not to panic. He told people not to lock down. He was convinced to go along with it for 2 weeks, which again, we understood because we said, look, this guy is the president of the United States. He has to listen to the experts that have been doing this. I don't want a president so, you know, cavalier that like when this unprecedented disease strikes, he's just like, yeah, screw it. I don't feel like doing anything. Like that was never going to be the case. That was never going to be how he reacted, and you wouldn't want him to react that way anyway. You'd want to be a little, you'd want to be more aware. You'd want him standing up against this more, but they literally had to trick him. They literally had to trick Trump into going along with their program. But then, and we were watching it the whole time, we were pointing out that Trump was doing everything he could to reassure people to not stay locked down. Meanwhile, he's being impeached. Meanwhile, he's running for president for a second term. Meanwhile, the economy is tanking because of all of this crap. And yesterday or the day before, there was a video of Thomas Massie. Maybe the crew can find it. There's a video of Thomas Massie talking about how food scarcity from the pandemic is only now going to start being affected because some of this food supply chain takes like 3 years for interruptions to be felt. I'll drag it in here. It says clip 20. So I want to play this because he's not intending for this to be an argument in favor of warp speed, but I think this actually should help reframe sort of how people think about this. Because like we said from the very beginning, the vaccine was going to come eventually, no matter what. And Trump would not have been able to stop that, and it wouldn't have been a good political, you know, position for him to take to stop it in the first place. Because the media, the likes of Anthony Fauci and, you know, others in the government health industry had terrified everybody. They'd convinced everybody that they were going to die unless they got a vaccine, that they should stay inside their homes until they get the vaccine. And people were convinced of that. And there was nothing that Donald Trump could say to convince them otherwise. They wanted the vaccine and they weren't going to go back to work until they got the vaccine. The vaccine was going to be produced. It was going to be released. Donald Trump couldn't have stopped it. And again, like I said, you wouldn't have wanted him to in the first place. I mean, how crazy would that have been? You have 200 million people in this country convinced they need a vaccine to survive. And Donald Trump would just be like, you're not allowed to have it, though. I'm stopping the vaccine from being released. Like, they would have just released it anyway. They don't need the president's permission to release a vaccine. They would have released it anyway. So you would have just impotently signaled that he didn't want the thing that was going to come out anyway. Like, think about the position he was in. Think about the position most of America was in. In InfoWars, we knew the vaccine was poison. We also knew there were other threats to be concerned with. Here's Thomas Massie talking about how COVID, I dropped it in there. It's under videos. It says 20. Thomas Massie explains how the COVID lockdowns are affecting grocery stores. It's also in the folder from yesterday. Let me know when you get that in. So we defeated COVID. We defeated climate change. Like, this is a surrender as far as I'm concerned. Bill Gates has officially handed his sword over. He has been defeated. He has been humiliated. And now he's changing his tune. Hell freezes over. Noted billionaire climate alarmist Bill Gates slams, quote, doomsday view of climate change in stunning new memo. They lost. They lost the argument. And they've decided that by screeching hysterically and panicking all the time, it's actually not convincing anybody. So now they've decided that in order to get their agenda move forward, they need to chill a little bit and be a little bit more casual about it. He published a 17-page memo on his website stating that the doomsday climate scenario that they'd been put, that'd been pushed by people like him and Al Gore is wrong. What? No way. No way. That's funny because, you know, Germany just blew up two of their nuclear power plants this week. Do they know this? Have you told them? They're actively blowing up their energy infrastructure on the basis of your hysterical shrieking. So you might want to let them know before they blow up another one. Now, Gates praises the progress in lowering emissions and criticizes the most extreme climate alarmist for focusing too much on short-term emission goals. Yeah, we should send him to prison too, actually, now that I think about it. Let's go to this clip of Thomas Massie again. I think this is inadvertently a pretty interesting argument in favor of Operation Warp Speed. Let's watch.
Yeah, I'm getting chill bumps because I remember that. I was pointing out that the supply chain for some foods is 3 years long and that what we were doing during COVID in terms of planting an apple tree, it's going to take 3 or 4 years for that, sometimes 5 or 6 years for that apple tree to bear fruit. And if during COVID you're paying people to stay home and not plant apple trees, you're affecting the price of apples 5 years from now. The same thing when you slaughter the dairy herd because they didn't have the facility. The school was closed and they couldn't redirect that milk because it was in cartons for school children, not for moms at the supermarket. So they destroyed dairy cattle, which were going to take 2 or 3 years to build back up. And so you had a lot of weird things going on during COVID, and we're still seeing the tail of that, no pun intended, right now.
So what would have happened if that lockdown had continued 6 more months, a year, 2 years? Like, what would have happened? That was the intention. Fauci calls this COVID year 5. They wanted us locked down for 10 years. What would have happened? What would have happened if you didn't have Operation Warp Speed and they slow walked the vaccine? Joe Biden gets office, maintains or even expands the lockdowns, and doesn't release the vaccine for 2 more years and keeps 90% of America locked inside their homes, not producing food for another 6 months or a year. Mass starvation. Mass starvation. And that was part of the plan. I don't like the vaccine any more than you do. I don't trust the vaccine, and I don't like that it was a necessary response to the full-scale, multi-front attack on humanity that was launched by the despicable scumbags at the CIA and the powers that be New World Order control grid. But it did save us from mass starvation and a complete total collapse of our economy that they actually intended it to be. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was an interesting video from Thomas Massey that sort of made me think about Operation Warp Speed in a different or, you know, more holistic way. I want to go to another video here. This is Michael Knowles. He just posted this, but I guess he's on Capitol Hill, and he's talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, the lies of the left when they say both sides do this. Both sides are violent. Both sides call for violence. Both sides hate and destroy each other's lives. No, we don't. The right wing doesn't do this. And I've only ever talked about it once, but I have this thing where if I talk about something, I just don't ever want to talk about it again. It's like a topic like this. But there was specifically a guy named Jamie Kilstein. He was a comedian. And during the heights of the Me Too movement, he was one of the main ringleaders getting people canceled for saying the wrong thing. And then it came out that he had some Me Too situations in his past. So then he was then, or maybe he didn't. But either way, he got accused of something, and suddenly he found himself on the receiving end of the hate, receiving end of the cancel brigade. And he realized, oh, this hurts. Oh, this isn't fun. Is this what I'm doing to people? And later, he's giving an interview to Joe Rogan, and he's going, you know, I was just in this mode where we were canceling people and we felt powerful, and I'd wake up every day, and every day I'd wake up and it'd be like, who are we canceling today? Who are we going after today? But you know, both sides do this. And it's like, I've never done that. Nobody on our side does that. Like, it's this crazy mindset where it's like American soldiers in Vietnam mowing down a village and being like, well, they're the enemy combatants. It's like, they're not even fighting you. They don't even know you're fighting them. You are literally just attacking innocent people who've done nothing and getting off on it and then justifying it by acting like both sides do this. We don't do that. I've never met anybody in the right wing who feels that way. I wake up every morning and just go, who are we destroying today? For one thing, we've never had the power to do that. So it's not even been an option for us. But do you think we would? Do you think that's the type of thing that Republicans would do on a daily basis? No. So these people are engaged in this just heinous slaughter, just, you know, brutality after brutality against people that aren't even in a fight with them. But then they go, but this is normal. Both sides do this. No, we don't, you psychopaths. Here's Michael Knowles on Capitol Hill.
never suggested that we condemn political violence, which surely we must all do. But then he suggested that we not try to pinpoint exactly which side the violence comes from. This seems to me confusing and misbegotten, as one cannot solve a problem if one does not know where the problem lies. In light of the murder of my friend Charlie Kirk by a leftist assassin, I am gratified to see that at least some members of our federal legislature are now confronting the consistent and escalating pattern of left-wing terrorism in the country. Lest I be accused of partisan invective, on September 23rd, no less an emblem of American liberalism than The Atlantic magazine published an article citing a recent study from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, admitting that the left is more violent today than the right. Less honest liberals, including members of Congress, continue to deny this fact. Democrat Congressman Seth Moulton, for example, reacted to Charlie's assassination by blaming the right. Congressman Moulton claimed that 3/4 of political violence in the United States comes from the right, while only 4% comes from the left. That claim struck me, as it probably does many of you, as suspect. So I looked into just a few recent examples that came to mind of prominent left-on-right violence. The Covenant School Massacre in Nashville, in which a trans-identifying shooter murdered Christian schoolchildren after outlining her ideological motivations. According to authorities, there was no ideological motive there. Go figure. The Black Lives Matter riots, overtly leftist demonstrations that left dozens of people dead and over $1 billion worth of property damage. Likewise, those fail to show up on registers of left-wing political violence. Even an attack by Antifa that targeted me personally, as well as conservative college students for our political views, appeared in official records and data sets as nothing more than obstructing law enforcement. It turns out the left commits relatively little political violence when you don't count the political violence that the left commits. I am here today to speak about that single illustrative incident. On April 18th, 2023, I was invited to participate in a debate at the University of Pittsburgh on the topic of transgenderism. Before the debate, several hundred left-wing protesters gathered outside the student center, many dressed uniformly in black with face coverings. They lit the street on fire while burning me in effigy with a little Hitler mustache painted on my face. All because I hold the view, as most Americans do, that men cannot become women. Buildings in the area were placed on a soft lockdown. As the Pittsburgh Bureau of Fire put out my burning effigy, an Antifa operative named Brian DePippa, hiding behind his wife, Crystal, rolled 2 smoke bombs under police barricades. Attendees scattered while demonstrators chanted, "Fascists go home." DePippa then threw a lit firework into a group of police officers protecting the building. The explosion injured several officers, including severe and life-altering injuries to a female officer.
There you go, from Michael Knowles. It turns out the left commits relatively little political violence when you don't count the political violence that the left commits. Isn't that convenient? And let's not forget that the likes of protesters in Charlottesville in 2017 have been charged just this year with felonies for burning with the intent to intimidate because they had torches. So while the right wing is being sent to jail for literally peaceful protests because they burned a torch, and so they apply laws that are supposed to be for arson, meanwhile, the people actually trying to burn down historical buildings in places like D.C. are protected endlessly, and their crimes don't even count when listed out by the authorities that are supposed to keep track of this type of stuff. It's not just unequal, it's disequal, it's inverted. It is not just not true, it is the opposite of truth. When they say Republicans or right-wingers are the violent ones, could not be farther from the truth. And I hope you all recognize that. By the way, the thing that got me going, I didn't even mention the thing that got me going about talking about just the purpose of freedom. The reason I was thinking about it was because I was ignoring DMs that people were sending me trying to get me to do things or say things. And I was just thinking, what a brilliant freedom I have to say whatever the hell I want and not have to care about anybody else. Because I have InfoWars. I have the InfoWars audience. We have the AlexJonesStore.com. And as long as you support us, I'll say whatever the hell I want. Thank you for that freedom, InfoWarriors. I really appreciate it.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart it removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the M4's audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? You talk about the wart. Other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
Oh, one more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, you know, I can go, I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is we've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the alexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.